mid-60s, and Sunday partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 64. Stay tuned now. Liz Brown is on vacation. We have the best of the wake-up call coming up next, and we'll have a special guest host in the studio beginning at 7 o'clock. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, please get to the website at LizBrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. Or you can email me at revolution@LizBrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. You need to get in on this show. You need to get in on this discussion. You need to get in on these issues. We are now taking calls from our callers as we talk about the issue of race and race in our fire departments. What is happening in the city of St. Louis? What is happening all across the country? Check out the website. I encourage you to do so because we have a photograph of a T-shirt with a caricature, a racist caricature of the current fire chief, the only black fire chief on it. And during the break, I received a note that appears to be a letter from Michael Stroud, a retired firefighter, member of Local 77, to the firefighters saying, "Dear firefighters, in response to their to the T-shirt, the T-shirts has been overwhelming. Hopefully there will be some new color selections to choose from coming soon. There has even been some interest from firefighters in other departments." What that says about where we are as a society, what that says about where we are as a fire department, what that says about where we are in terms of race. Check if you want to see what the T-shirt looks like. Go to my website, LizBrown.com. It's there on the front page of it. We're going to take some
Liz,
of calls.
Can I say something before we...
Sure.
With regard to that, the things that we've been discussing today, the issues...
And this is Paul Davis, president of Local Firefighter 73. Go right ahead.
You know, the historical perspective, like I was stating earlier, the things that have occurred, everything mentioned so far occurred prior to my... tenure as president, and I'm trying to pass the olive branch and try to do something a little different. But something kind of offended me, and that is last night when I saw on your blogitude, with the picture of the T-shirt, was the caption underneath it. Went to a Klan rally, and all I got was this T-shirt.
Well, the title of the blog was "We went to a Klan rally and all we got was this lousy T-shirt."
Right. And so, like we've been discussing, and we've been discussing the historical perspective and the things that have occurred. That's something that happened yesterday.
What did?
The notation under the picture about going to a Klan rally, because I'm going to challenge you that I don't think you probably got that at a Klan rally, and I think for my members. And for the white firefighters, on the St. Louis Fire Department. I don't think any of them belong to the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. And I think it's offensive to even suggest that.
Well, here's the thing. And the reason why I did, I thought it was clever. I thought it was kind of funny. And the reason I made the connection of it is because the picture, as we've discussed earlier, and as if you've even said earlier, that it was offensive, that it is not something that you would wear. It is not something that you think your members should wear. It is a racist caricature. So to make the connection of a racist caricature to the Klan is a natural linkage. And I don't think that there's any other linkage that you could make to a racist act than the Klan. And the thing did not just suggest, well, and I don't know. I don't know. It just says, you said you didn't know about what happened with the, handing out of the plaques. You weren't there. I don't know if a member of the Klan put together that t-shirt. I don't know if a member of the Klan is wearing that t-shirt, and neither do you. And it seems to me the easiest way to deal with this is to say, you know what? We don't want anything associated with any of our firefighters that suggests at all any kind of racism, any kind of racist act, or any possibility of the linkage to a racist organization. It seems to me that a person that would put out a t-shirt like that, and now we're seeing that y'all are going to be trying to make, that some folks are going to try to be making money off of these t-shirts, is that's dead up Klan stuff. That's dead up Klan stuff. So that's why I made the analogy, and that's why I made the linkage. And I don't see why anybody would take offense to that, because I'm not saying that the good firefighters are wearing the t-shirt. I'm saying that the bad firefighters are wearing this racist t-shirt.
But the connotation was there was that you had went to a Klan rally, or that someone went to a Klan rally.
And got a racist t-shirt. I just think that the connotation or even the suggestion. It's a racist t-shirt. Where else do you get racist t-shirts but at a Klan rally?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I just wanted to make the point.
Okay.
That, I mean, and my point is, like I said earlier, we can continue to talk about things that have happened and things that are happening, or we can start working on solutions to the problems. Anybody can sit around a room and talk about problems. But it takes
something. We haven't even got to that place yet.
So let's get to a point where we can start talking to solutions.
But, Paul, we haven't even gotten to the place where we're sitting around the table talking about problems. If you didn't know, as the president of this organization, about what happened to one of the most horrific things that's happened to this fire department, that the death of those two firefighters, if you didn't know that your organization dissed her in this way, then we need to talk. Folks need to be talking about stuff. We can't be running from the past saying that we don't need to talk about it anymore. We don't need to keep talking about it. We haven't talked about it. You didn't know it. And that's because your people haven't been talking to you. And your people haven't been talking, or your people didn't see anything wrong with it. That's because the words were not used and the talking did not take place. Talking needs to take place.
That's why I'm here.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Adam, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Adam Long, and I'm a battalion chief of the St. Louis Fire Department, and I happen to be African-American. I was also the incident commander at the tragic fire in May of 2002 where both Derek and Rob gave their lives. I was also at the ceremony at Engine House 1 that Wayne spoke of. And, hello?
Yes,
Hello?
That's on your end.
Okay. And, yes, it did happen. I was there. It's common knowledge now that on that night, conditions in the building got to be very bad. And by me being the incident commander, it was my responsibility to make sure that our men were safe. And I asked that the building be evacuated. Once the building was evacuated, we did a member accountability roll call, and it was then that I found out that Derek was missing. And, Rob was missing, and Derek was out of the building. Derek went back in the building to get Rob. So, like I said, it's common knowledge that this has happened. And if 73 wanted to do something to rectify that was the wrong that was done at that particular ceremony, then they should have acknowledged what Derek did. There was an organization that gave Angie a check for $25,000, I think, about a year after Derek and Rob's death, acknowledging his act of heroism. Local 73 has yet to acknowledge what Derek did. Mm. Derek and Rob had a closeness that nobody seems to talk about. They had a lot in common, but Derek and Rob were close. And nobody talks about that. You know, nobody talks about the fact that, you know, they played basketball together. You know, they would sit at the dinner table with me and Captain Gary Ruffin, who was the captain of the rescue squad. And Derek and Rob were always the ones that played cards against us. When they died, there was a ceremony in which Derek and Rob were promoted posthumously to the rank of captain. At one of the ceremonies after their death, the mayor promised Angie and Laura that they would be compensated as if their husbands were actually captains. There was a bill introduced to the Board of Aldermen, you know, to get that compensation for those families. And it was because of a couple of writers or something that Local 73 attached to those bills that it got stalled in the Board of Aldermen. And to this day, Angie and Laura and their families have yet to be compensated because of that. And I'd like for Paul to speak to that, if he may.
Thank you so much, Adam.
You're quite welcome.
Not wanting to speak for the mayor, I'll let him speak for himself. But I can tell you that the circumstances surrounding... Well, first of all, let me go to the first part of the conversation when you talked about Derek going in and gave his life going in after Rob. That is 100% accurate. And I stated earlier that we have over 800 firefighters on this job, and I think that 800 firefighters would do the same thing. We go in, we protect each other, we're putting our lives on the line for each other. Fighting a fire is the most equivalent thing is on-duty combat in the military. I mean, we rely on each other. And this was a situation that occurred, race notwithstanding, that one brother gave his life for another. Now, with regards to the pension benefit or the issue regarding the mayor's statement, I think it was...
And the award from Local 73 for the specific heroism of Derek.
Right. The Chief Long spoke about that the mayor had promised both widows that the two captains would receive the benefits of a captain. It was a situation. It was an emotional time. It was an emotional event. The mayor was probably thinking at the time that this would be something that would be easy for the city to do. Changing our pension benefits is a five-step process. We have to get it passed in the House and the Senate, and the governor has to sign it. In addition, we have to bring it back. The Board of Aldermen has to pass it, and the mayor has to sign it. When you pass bills like that, you have to have an actuarial study to determine what the cost is. And when it came back from Jeff City and introduced into the Board of Aldermen and the actuaries got involved to determine what the cost of the benefit would be, it was deemed to, you know, on the city's end, the city did not pass the bill because it was too costly for the city to pass such a that resolution or that pension benefit. The city and the financial struggles that they're in, our pension system, the police department pension system recently sued the city of St. Louis because of lack of contributions, and we have approximately $30 million settlement against the city of St. Louis for our pension systems for monies that are owed us for the benefits that we have. And this benefit would have added to that cost, and so the city chose not to, try to get that benefit passed, putting the city in more financial hardship.
Let's talk about something that doesn't cost any money. Let's talk about the issue of Local 73 and the issuance of the award that Adam talked about, that Derek didn't get as being the person that went in and got robbed.
Local 73 is that I'm aware of. We've never given anybody an award for anything, with regards to that. Any of the award ceremonies, the things that exist, every October we have an awards mass, and all that is done through the fire department.
Let's get to some of our other calls. Greg, you have a question or comment?
I have a few comments, and I got a question for Wayne, if you'd let me go through them, then I'll hang up. My first comment is, on the plaque issue, I haven't heard anything about it either.
Are you a firefighter, Greg?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay.
And if Adam said it happened, then it happened. But I'd like to...
Not if Wayne said.
I'd like to comment on the plaque issue. And here's my comment. This is a hard, like Paul said, this is a hard question to answer because both these, their firefighters are now dead. But what I'd like to say was, when they were alive, Derek had every opportunity to join Local 73. Mm. I had numerous conversations with him about that, and I had numerous conversations with him about your show because I've called before. Mm. Now, if you don't want to join, then that's fine. That's his, that's his prerogative. But Rob had no opportunity to join fire because of his skin color. Now, the second comment I want to make.
But wait a minute. Let's get back to the first.
I'll make my comment, and then I'll hang up, and
I need some clarity on your comment. That's why I need to get back to your comment. So if I'm understanding you right, you accurately, Greg, you're saying that it's Derek's fault that he didn't get a plaque from 73 because he didn't join 73?
No, that is not what I'm saying. If Local 73 probably should have filled in one.
You think?
Because fire gave them one, and that's fine. And but he should have done that, and they didn't, and I'm sorry about that. But...
Well, you didn't say that. This is the first time you said that. So I appreciate you saying that
now. I'm sorry about that. They should have. Derek was a friend of mine. Now, but on the other hand, when they were alive, the situation was different. Because of his skin color, he couldn't even join fire. So that's my comment, and I'll let them guys discuss it. My second comment is, I had a meeting with Marty Abusi some years ago, right after the selection of fire chief had taken place, and Marty Abusi asked me as a regular firefighter in his office, he said, hey, what do you think about the selection of, Sherman George's chief? And my comment was, well, I think we should go down the list, that person for the job, that's my personal stance, and Local 73 stance. We should go right down the list, the best person for the job. He told me that the number one candidate didn't want a transfer policy. The number two candidate hadn't been on the track for some 10, 15 years, so he didn't have the experience of fire grounds. And the number three candidate wanted a transfer policy. So I believe, since what Marty Abusi told me, that the main reason why Sherman George was picked because of this transfer policy. And once he gets picked, he wants to go against the transfer policy. It seems odd to me that anybody can say anything when they get the job, and then as soon as they get it, if they're just going to go back on what they said, then...
Greg, let me ask you two questions, quick questions before we go, because we have to take a break.
Sure.
Were you an elected official of 73 when you were sitting in the office with Marty Abusi?
No, ma'am.
So why would Marty Abusi share with you that kind of information?
He asked me a question.
I know, but he shared with you really, really private information. So my question, I'm just wondering if a black person could have walked into Marty Abusi's office and gotten that kind of intimate information about what was going on in the fire department. Why would he give that information to you? Who are you? For him to give you that kind of private information about who was on one and, what the first one had, what the second one had, and what the third one had.
I'm not a mind reader, but I do know that he told me that information.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm just curious. Thanks for your call, Greg. It's kind of interesting that white folks can walk into Marty Lucy's office and get all this information.
information.
I think that's very interesting.
Isn't that very interesting? He's not even an elected official. Marty Boothie is telling him all his business.
I think it makes the point of what we've been talking about. And if he, I know what he was trying to get to as far as Rob being a member.
Hold that thought. We'll be back to discuss that. But dang, all he had to do was walk in the office and Marty just said, tell me what you need to know, and he gives it to him. Ain't that something? My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Following is a rebroadcast of the Wake Up Call. We'll have a live host in the studio beginning at 7 o'clock right here on AM 920 WGNU. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Missouri Lottery Powerball. Illinois 156 at 159, a report of an accident involving a struck pig. Eastbound 70 at Blanchett Bridge, look for road construction. Right lane is closed, and this is the final stage of bridge work. There are no delays in the work zone this hour. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and McKnight, look for no problems there. Eastbound 44 from Antire to 270, everything's running smoothly. Northbound 270 from Gravoy all the way up to Manchester, no problems to report. Northbound 55 from 141 to Carondelet, no problems to report this hour. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and New Florissant, no problems there. Eastbound 40 between at the last Missouri exit, that's a Broadway exit. There's road construction there. You can use 11th Street to get around. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for a heavy volume there. Westbound 55-70 split is slowing in the 55 exit lane and on the PSB. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at the PSB, look for no problems there. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge, everything's on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. And Highway FF of John McKeever, there's a report of an injury accident that's down in Jefferson County. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Missouri Lottery Powerball. With jackpots starting at $15 million, Missouri's Lottery's Powerball is bigger and happens more often than ever before. It could be your ticket to Lucky Town, Missouri Powerball. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, mostly sunny. High in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65, both under clear skies. Stay tuned. More of the best of the wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour and be joined by somebody to host the wake-up call. Liz Brown is on vacation. We'll talk then. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Check out the upcoming Cook Saturday on September 3rd at the Food Outreach, 3117 Olive Street in St. Louis. For more information, a full calendar of events for Food Outreach, and the new edition of the Food for Thought newsletter, visit www.foodoutreach.org. Something tasty for you from WGNU.
Hello, this is Ella Allen Coyne, host of the Gospel Soul Train broadcast. Join me every Saturday evening at 6:30 as we lift up Jesus with the best gospel music in St. Louis. We also bring you the latest church news you need to know. So join me, Ella Allen Coyne, on the Gospel Soul Train Saturday evening at 6:30 here on WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Liz Brown is on vacation. We'll take you back to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Oh, mercy, mercy me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Captain Wayne Lester, Vice Chairman of Fire, Paul Davis, President of St. Louis Firefighters, Local 73, and we're talking about the issues of race in the St. Louis City Fire Department. Wayne, one of the callers that called, Greg, called, and he made the comment that, well, white people can't join fire. And black people can join Local 73. Is that an argument that is significant or meaningful to you?
It's not significant or meaningful, but to address it, I think if he was listening to the 6 o'clock hour, we gave the history of why we are separated.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't acts on our part. It was acts on the local part. And now we're at a place where, and if you look at it, it's a common sense approach. Why would you join an organization that is hell-bent on destroying you? And everywhere we go around this city, we have politicians, we have leaders of organization asking fire to become a part of the local. Now it's a matter of money.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing $250,000 annually that they are not getting from our members. It's an economic reason, and Mr. Hughes told you that. We're getting the same benefits, and we're willing to pay a fair share according to the collective bargaining rules.
That's something
that I question. I don't even know if they have an agreement with the city. The last I spoke, when I spoke with Mr. Franks about the agreement, the meet and confer,
mm-hmm.
he told me that they had an agreement on the table since December, and this local hadn't signed it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what they were going to do.
So we don't
they
even
were
going to
sign it or not.
And Paul, what do you say to that?
Well,
it's not. It hasn't been signed. It hasn't been signed since December.
Since December.
The issue that Wayne talked about. I mean, he said that we're hell bent on destroying them. That is not the case. Local 73 is a Democratic run organization, and I started to make the comparison with Congress and the Senate. As a Democratic organization, you work from within. You make the changes from inside the organization. And if you're not inside the organization, if somebody else wants to try to tell this union what we should try to do, you know, and they're outside a firefighter, they're not a firefighter, they're another organization or another person, we're not going to listen to them.
But we're talking,
about
white and black and firefighters. We're not talking about people outside of what it is that you do. We're talking about firefighters. We're talking about black firefighters that say that you're an organization that supports, condones, or doesn't say anything negative about T-shirts with racist caricatures on them. You're an organization that is against affirmative action. You're an organization that takes their members' dues to fight affirmative action. You're an organization that never filed a lawsuit to make certain that the black people that live in the city are represented in the fire department. You're an organization that is opposed to, has protested against a fire chief in a personal way that no fire chief has ever been protested against before in the city of St. Louis. So this is black, white firefighters. Why should black firefighters join an organization that has done things 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and is doing things this year that are contrary to the issues of black people?
If a white fire chief
mm-hmm.
would have made the same decisions, we had the same arguments that the current fire chief had, we would have picketed, we would have
never picketed the last fire chief that didn't have
the issue involved
transfer policy that this one has. You never picketed his house.
We never picketed.
I mean,
we never picketed.
You never picketed him.
We never picketed Chief George's house.
I didn't mean to say that. You didn't picket. Okay. You have picketed.
When the pickets came up, when we put pickets up last summer, it was over the issue of promotions.
Mm-hmm.
Had the former fire chief
not made the promotions that should be made? I mean, in when the Department of Personnel in April of 2004 certified a list for promotions, we were 8 captains short, 2 battalion chiefs short. We have an agreed-to pay ordinance that calls for 115 captains, 19 battalion chiefs. If we're under 115 captains, we only have 107, we're 8 captains short. Right now, we're 15 captains short because the fire chief refuses to make promotions. That's what we were protesting. That's why we were out in front of headquarters. That's why we were out in front of City Hall.
And
I don't care whether
the
fire chief, I don't care if the fire chief is white, black, red, brown, or green.
But see, but
if he'd not
make
him
pick
the promotion.
Paul, people make that argument all the time. I don't care if people are red, black, or and there aren't any green people, so we need to talk about that. We're talking about black people and white people, and the letters that your organization has sent out has dealt with the color of people like me. It said, Northside is going to be doing this. We're not doing anything that Northside is doing. We're going to be voting for Francis Lay, but Northside is going to be voting for this. You don't want to vote like Northside is voting. Northside means black people. That's about black people. It's not about green people. It's not about white people. It's about black people and about what black people want and about what white people don't want. In the city of St. Louis, the race of Francis Lay and Irene J. Smith was a race about race. It was a race about what black people want and what white people want. And your organization on its letterhead said to black, said to your white members, don't let Northside black people win this. We have got to win this. That's about race.
It's about politics.
And
it's
race.
About race,
and
but
race.
It's about politics.
But it's a, let's talk
and
about the
it's
race
about,
part of it. Let's
but
talk
let's
about,
talk
the,
about the politics
the
part.
The politics of it is easy. We're not talking about the politics of it. We're talking about the race part of it because your organization could have
and
just
this,
as easily said, vote for Francis Lay because we want Francis Lay. And not made it a race issue, but your organization made it a race and a politics issue, and that brings us back to the place where we began. Why should black people want to be part of an organization that makes race an issue and race to the detriment of black people? I mean, that's crazy to ask black people to pay dues to an organization that is hell-bent on engaging in behavior that is to the not to the interests of black people.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because you make the changes from within. And if our organization is making wrong decisions and our policies and our procedures are wrong or if they're against African Americans, I have African Americans. First of all, I have African Americans in my local, and I'm going to quote one of my members.
One of your 10 members of my 400 members organization.
And this member stated, he said, look, I believe, personally, my thought is I believe fire made a mistake when they formed their own association and dropped out of Local 73. And his premise is that through the 40s, 50s, and 60s, during the civil rights struggles, African Americans in this country were struggling to be included. They were struggling to get into the Congress. They were struggling to get... And we took a desegregated organization and made it segregated.
Paul, you don't see that you...
And
that, that sounds,
if my
that
organization...
Sounds, that doesn't
if,
sound crazy to you that you have a black man... Wait a minute, Paul. You have a black man that is saying to you that... I should trust an organization and be part of an organization that did nothing to make more of me... More black firefighters. You're gonna listen to the words of one man, out of if this is a democratic society and we're based on numbers and all of that. There are 390 black firefighters and paramedics that say we are really glad that fire is here, and all of the thousands of family members that are attached to those 390 something. You quote me one pitiful little man that is in an organization, and he's saying that it was better off before fire. That's crazy.
Here's a black man. Can I speak as a black man that's benefited from the efforts of fire? First of all, you got to understand, because there are black firefighters, they impact the community on annually, $25 million strong. That means we buy houses, buy cars, the whole nine. And it's because we have a job. And it was because of fire going to court, teaming up with the NAACP to help fund the battles to get us 50-50 hired. 73, the city, fire, entered into a consent decree that will allow 50% hiring rate, black and white. Now, when it came time for that to end, we suggested that we continue because it's good for the city. And if you look at the city is 51, 52, 53, some would argue even higher, black, and as far as the population. So why wouldn't 73 agree to continue the consent decree? Why wouldn't the city continue the consent decree? The issue becomes then, do I join an organization? And this is the philosophy, not of just Wayne Luster, but it's the philosophy of the members of FIRE. Why would I join an organization to and pay into an organization that's going to kick me in my behind and eventually kick me out the door? It doesn't make sense. A sane person wouldn't do that. What's the bigger issue, which I think Greg hit upon, and I know Greg probably won't believe me, is Greg is a private, and he's in the director's office. Let's let that sink in for a minute. You have privates going to the mayor. You have privates going to the director. You have privates calling the deputy mayor and requesting things over the appointing authority.
Mm.
They are disregarding the expert in the St. Louis Fire Department that has over 30 years of experience. Why do we have a black caucus? Why do we have a black board of aldermen caucus? Why do we have these national organizations for the interests of black folks?
Mm-hmm. But they are also, they're also part of the umbrella organization. The Congressional Black Caucus did not get out of Congress. The NAACP has not limited their membership to African-American members. NAACP opens their membership to everybody. Coalitions need to be built. And we need to start getting to the root of the problem and start coming to solutions to the problem. And our international and my local, and I brought for you, Liz, to share on our international website, www.iaff.org, under our human relations issue, okay, our international president realizes that there is a problem, nationwide. And last November in Memphis, Tennessee, he called together all of the African-American presidents of our international locals. In April of this year, Johnny Brewington, the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters president, had a meeting in Washington, D.C. with Harold Schaeberger.
I need you to hold that thought. Hold that thought because we're 3 minutes over our break. We've got to take a break here. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Captain Wayne Luster, Vice Chair of FIRE, and also Paul Davis, President of St. Louis Firefighters Local 73. We'll get to some of your calls. We'll get to some more of our discussion. I told you I'd get to the calls. We'll get to your calls. Stay with us.
You've been listening to the best of the Wake Up Call at AM 920 WGNU. We'll return after these moments with more of the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
We interrupt this program for an important message. Right now, you can ride the ultimate storm of the new tornado at Hurricane Harbor inside Six Flags St. Louis.
We interrupt this important message for an even more important interrupting message. Hurricane Harbor is 100% free inside Six Flags St. Louis.
We interrupt again for a message so important it can beat up the last interrupting message. You can also see Circo Magnifico, the all-new dynamic stage show featuring acrobatics that will simply amaze you.
You call that an important interrupting message? Here's an important interrupting message message? Six Flags is the only place on Earth where you can get coasters like The Boss and Batman the Ride and the exhilarating Mr. Freeze.
Oh, yeah? Well, this is the daddy of all interrupting messages. Right now, you can buy and print discount tickets right from your home using Print and Go at SixFlags.com. Six Flags, St. Louis, it's playtime.
Whoa, that was important.
Told you.
Hi, I'm Brian Kay, sales manager at WGNU Radio. Right now, you're hearing my voice. What you could be hearing is yours, telling people about your business. Call me during regular business hours at 314-454-6660, and let me show you how effective and affordable radio ads can be on WGNU, and how they can bring new customers to you. Once again, that's Brian Kay at 314-454-6660. We can replace this ad with yours.
We will now return you to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. I am here with Paul Davis, president of St. Louis Firefighter Local 73, Captain Wayne Luster, vice chairman of Fire, and we've got to get to some of these calls. Let me get to some of these calls here. Let's try Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Outstanding.
I'd like to talk to the captain. You know, I used to be a union organizer, and that's why we have very, very few unions have affirmative action program inside their contracts. And I used to advocate that black people need to separate from almost all unions, even the United Auto Workers, because it's so bad with United Auto Workers that black people file unfair labor practices on the union because they won't represent them in discrimination suits. So you will be out of your mind to merge with a white union. All of them are having problems. Have a good day.
Can I say something, Liz?
All we got to do is ask ourselves, and Paul here, he's the president, he can answer this question. How many black of those 10 members you have, how many of them hold an office or ever held an office? Not only that, you've got to look at history, because when we look at this, we talk about integration, and to the detriment almost, integration has hurt us in a respect. Where are our black banks? Where are our black grocery stores?
Local black schools.
Where are the black schools at? When you integrate, and this is their approach, they want to absorb us and eliminate us.
And then take the money from them.
Exactly.
Paul, let me let Paul jump in
here. I was just going
to
say, Kevin, the last caller talked about the United Auto Workers, and I just find it odd that he would bring up the United Auto Workers. In 1963, the Civil Rights March in Washington, D.C., if you look at the picture of Martin Luther King, you'll see Walter Reuther, who's the former international president of the United Auto Workers of America. Labor was behind that march. A. Phillips Randolph.
Marching in the march is one thing. It's doing the do after the march. And nobody, I mean, everybody wants to hold up pictures of people saying, I was with Martin Luther King at the time. This is 2005.
The issue is
the same issues that Martin Luther King was marching against back in 1960-something exist today, no matter who was standing there marching next to him.
And I agree with what Julian Bond said. The Civil Rights March and labor unions, we have a lot in common. When you're cut, I bleed. And like I said, that's why I came on this show. The issues that have been brought up occurred prior to me taking over as president of this organization. Now that I am the president, we are having communications. We're having a talk show. When was the last time in the city of St. Louis that you had the two organizations sitting down and talking and discussing the problems? And we've got to, I want to do more than discussing the problems. I want to reach solutions to the
call problem. For the forum. I agree with you, Paul. We ought to look for solutions. And we can call for a official forum right now from the Board of Aldermen, Fine 73, to the citizens of St. Louis, to the mayor, to the Director of Public Safety, everyone. We're saying we want a public forum from the Board of Aldermen, independent of everybody, to look at the issues that's going on in the St. Louis Fire Department. You agree, don't you, Paul?
We have a forum set up. Dr. Buford, Dr. Suggs, the Urban League. We've had two meetings. It is an official forum.
That's not
the
official.
The NAACP set it up. The mayor appointed people.
First of all, let's stop. NAACP did not set this up. It was the Black Leadership Roundtable. We had two meetings, and then when we start speaking from the heart, they stopped coming.
And the Black Leadership Roundtable wanted y'all to join the white union. That was their position. So, yeah, you have NAACP because the guy that's head of the NAACP got a gig on the Metropolitan on the sewer board. He has a job from Francis Slay. Yeah, you have the Urban League because the Urban League supports Francis Slay. Yeah, you have the St. Louis American because Donald Suggs didn't endorse Irene J. Smith and supports Francis Slay and supported Francis Slay school board and gets money as a result of the connection that he has with this particular mayor and this particular administration. If you want an honest discussion and not a compromise discussion or not an agenda by individuals that are cutting deals with the administration that is against Sherman George, that told Sherman George to pay your own lawyer, that said we will change the rules of everything to get at Sherman George. If you want a meeting, if you want to have a forum, then have people that don't have an agenda and don't have an interest, have a public forum.
How about it, Paul?
It was Don Wolf, the fire chief's attorney, that was the
That's the past. Let's deal with now. You
want
to go there
now?
Let's get
Congressman Clay. Let's get Congressman Clay to help
the
us.
The Board of Aldermen. Do you want the public forum?
I'm willing to sit down with anybody and everybody in this city
and as a show of good faith, make a statement that any firefighter that is wearing a racist caricature of the sitting fire chief will be reprimanded. That this is wrong and this is not something that your organization pushes. Can we have that?
Yes, you can have that.
Okay, let me get to some of our calls. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Chris.
Yes, ma'am. My question is, do you consider the Riverfront Times a racist publication?
At times, yes.
Okay. Did you object to the caricature of the Riverfront Times? Because they're actually the ones who created it.
And also, there's a writer that created, Little Black Sambo, there's a writer that created all of these racist caricatures, and the decision that we have as adults is whether or not we would select them or not. So this, your organization or your people went out and selected the most racist caricature and made it a T-shirt. And apparently, according to this note that I have from Mike Stroud, it's selling really well. And it's, racist stuff does sell well in the United States.
Well, ma'am, if you're so opposed to the caricature T-shirt, did you go so far as to call the Riverfront Times or write the Riverfront Times and voice your concerns and objections to the caricature that was created by them?
I have not had an opportunity to voice my concern and write a letter for every single racist act that has occurred in this United States.
Well, you seem pretty offended by the T-shirt, therefore.
I am. Aren't you? Aren't you offended by it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And I had nothing to do with it.
Okay, have you written a letter?
No,
have you voiced your
not.
Concern? Have you called the fire department to ask them to tell their members to stop wearing this racist T-shirt?
What I have done is I have too much going on in my personal life to take that issue up with myself.
But I'm supposed to.
Well, you're on the air, and you're talking on how offended you are by this.
But again, if the evidence of my offense is not whether I've called the Riverfront Times. The evidence of my offense is the fact that I am calling out the people who chose to replicate a racist caricature. And that's what this is about right now. This is calling out the people that have chosen to replicate it. And that's outrageous.
Another comment I'd like to make, though, in reference to Greg and having a discussion with Marty Abusi.
We don't have, we have 30 seconds here. I've got to thank my guests for coming on. Thank you. Thank you so much, Paul Davis, president of the Firefighters Local 73. Thank you for coming on. And Captain Wayne Luster, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
And maybe we'll do this again. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place, and we'll be checking to see if we all do what we say we're going to do. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
The following has been a replay of the wake-up call. Stay tuned for live wake-up call beginning at 7 o'clock right here on AM 920 WGNU.
It is time for us to use our power. We do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
bad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, young brother. Stop
for the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. The slow federal response to the crisis in New Orleans is being called a national disgrace by several Louisiana officials. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin expressed his frustration this way.
You know, God is looking down on all this, and if they are not doing everything in their power to save people, they are going to pay the price. Because every day that we delay, people are dying. And they're dying by the hundreds, I'm willing to bet you.
Mayor Nagin on WWL Radio. There was an explosion in downtown New Orleans this morning. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
Police say the cloud was not toxic, so after being told to evacuate, reporters are now staying in downtown New Orleans. The scene here is without law. There is no sign of the military. Local police who have been on duty since the hurricane hit are trying to keep order. They're up against people who are walking around the streets armed. Picking up bodies has yet to begin. They're on street corners throughout the city.
President Bush will tour hard-hit areas later this morning. 300 National Guard troops have arrived, fresh from Iraq. Governor Kathleen Blanco has given shoot-to-kill orders. Thousands of military police will be arriving over the weekend. A tourist from Michigan says when she asked a police officer for help in New Orleans, his response was, "Go to hell, it's every man for himself." Then there's this from ABC's Aaron Kuchersky in Biloxi.
We are hearing stories of unthinkable looting here, but we're also hearing stories of good citizenship. We met a woman who pulled into the lot where we're staying, just her and her baby trying to escape Louisiana. She was heading to Florida, ran short of gas. The baby was sick and needed to get out of the sweltering conditions. A guy offered without hesitation to fill her tank with some of his own reserves. He said, "I'm not passing up this blessing, a chance to help someone."
In Houston, a second facility has been opened to house refugees from Louisiana. This is ABC News.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened this store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
Come to Lowe's now through Monday and celebrate Labor Day with great values. Save $20 on every 5-gallon can and $5 on every 1-gallon can of our best quality paints like American Tradition and Signature Colors after mail-in rebate. Get a 50-pound bag of Quikrete concrete mix for only $1.79. Use your Lowe's consumer card and ask for special financing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more through September 5th. So hurry to Lowe's. See store for details. Offers end September 5th.
It was feared he may have perished in the hurricane. Now it's believed that R&B legend Fats Domino was rescued after riding out the hurricane in his New Orleans home. His daughter says she saw a photograph of her dad being helped off a boat by rescuers. Thousands of Boeing machinists are on strike today. They voted down a contract offer.
It was an insulting, takeaway, sellout, job-stealing offer. And I'm here to tell you that you overwhelmingly rejected that.
Michael Blondin, president of the Machinists Union. The strike affects more than 18,000 workers who assemble Boeing's commercial airplanes. A Dutch teenager held in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway on Aruba is being released. A judge could let Joren van der Sloot out as early as tomorrow. There are strings attached. He's still a suspect and must be available to police. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, Missouri schools are offering help and classroom space to young hurricane refugees. Children displaced by Hurricane Katrina are considered homeless students under federal law, and they can enroll in school without school records or immunization records. They are also eligible for free or reduced-price lunches and Title I services. In some schools, hurricane victims will also receive social worker services and school supplies. People from the Midwest are reacting to the tragedy left by Hurricane Katrina and the growing lawlessness in its wake. U.S. Attorney Catherine Hanaway says the problem of looting along the Gulf Coast is incomprehensible. National Guard troops have been brought into the disaster zone to combat looting. President Bush has said that looters should be treated with zero tolerance. Two area men are in custody after admitting to roles in a major art theft. Donald Raich of University City and Byron Valier of Creve Coeur have pleaded guilty to conspiracy to transport stolen goods in interstate commerce. Prosecutors say Raich and Valier worked at the now-closed Fine Arts Express in Bridgeton in 2002. During that time, over 100 works of art belonging to a Florida couple were stored at the facility and then stolen. The two men face up to 5 years in prison and a fine of $250,000. Visitors to this year's St. Louis County Fair and Air Show at the Spirit of St. Louis Airport will experience live entertainment, midway rides, food, and military flybys. Dick Rabko, the president of the event, explains some of the planes that will be on hand at this year's event.
Lots of military airplanes, including the B-1B bomber, which is always is an exciting aircraft to watch. At least 30 or 40 aircraft on static display. And this year is the first year we've had the Marine Corps Harrier.
The Fair and Air Show opens tonight at 5 o'clock and will remain open until 10. On Saturday and Sunday, the fairgrounds are open from 10 in the morning until 10 in the evening, and from 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock on Monday. Admission is $8 for adults and $4 for kids under the age of 12. Finally this hour, Cardinals pitching coach Dave Duncan has been suspended for 4 games in connection with his role in a pregame altercation with the Pirates last Wednesday at PNC Park. Duncan was also fined an undisclosed amount and is scheduled to begin his suspension tonight. Pirates hitting coach Gerald Perry received an 8-game suspension, while manager Lloyd McClendon will have to sit out for 1 game. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at your traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, road construction, right lanes are closed. The crews are in the final stage of bridge work. There is no delay in the work area at this hour. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, look for very heavy volume already in your 7 o'clock commute. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, no problems to report. Northbound 270 is a little heavy after 44 all the way into Marshall Road. Northbound 55 between 270 and the 4500 block of South Broadway, you can expect no problems there. Westbound 255 between Telegraph and Lehme Ferry, look for everything to be normal with sour. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and Graham Hanley, look for no problems there. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway, is closed due to construction. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around the construction area. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and Route 79, look for heavy volume. eastbound 40 between 170 and Handley. Look for slow traffic this hour, eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. You've got slow traffic westbound 5570 split between 4th Street all the way onto the PSB. It is slow go this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at the PSB. Look for everything to be running smoothly. However, westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic between the Illinois Banks and the Laclede's Landing. Look for no problems there. Horseshoe Lake at 255. Police say there's no sign of an earlier reported accident. And a couple of other notes here. Route 109 to 44. Those traffic lights are not working. They're on red flash. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Interested in buying or selling a home? Call Allison Sale at Blake and Davis Realtors. You'll get a real hometown advantage with their e-advantage, excellence, expertise, and experience, all at Blake and Davis Realtors. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For the remainder of today, mostly sunny and warm with a high in the lower 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 60. Saturday, pretty much the same, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in mid-60s. And Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid to upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 64. Liz Brown is on vacation this week. Instead, you have Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown. That'll be up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Summer has officially begun, and warmer weather can mean danger for your cats and dogs. The ASPCA has issued a pet safety advisory urging pet owners to protect their companion animals during the sweltering summer days. The organization offers these guidelines as a way to keep pets safe when the temperatures begin to rise. Keep your dog or cat well-groomed, as a clean coat can help to prevent summer skin problems. Never take an animal to the beach unless you can provide a shaded spot and plenty of fresh water for him or her to drink. Never leave your pet standing on hot asphalt. Bring your companion animal to the vet for a spring or early summer checkup, including a test for heartworm, if your dog is not on year-round preventive medication. And to prevent escape or accidental falls, make sure all windows in your home are properly screened. The ASPCA has provided national leadership in humane education for over a century and has over 1 million supporters today. Visit ASPCA.org for more information.
One would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you had your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher?
Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin?
All right. Good morning. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show.
Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. And I must do something before I forget, because I meant to do it on Monday, but with so much going on, it got past me. This past weekend, and because of family matters, I wasn't able to get there. But our dear brother Percy Green celebrated his 70th birthday. And I just want to wish Percy a belated happy birthday. You look at the brother. Brother don't look sad, and he looked very good. And, you know, he has done a lot and sacrificed a lot for this community and continues to involve himself in issues that promote the best interests of our community. So, Percy, God bless, and I'm sorry I was not able to be with you, but happy birthday to you. Thank you. I received so many calls from individuals inquiring about whether or not I had heard anything from my family members who we had not heard from in about 4 days in New Orleans. I want to let you know I appreciate all of the prayers and concerns that have been expressed. And a young sister that's kind of like a niece to me, I had talked with her, and she said to me, she said, Irene, we're just going to already thank God for making sure that family is okay. My brother-in-law and his father, his other relatives had gotten out to Louisville, Mississippi, and we had not heard from him, you know. But I was very optimistic because my brother-in-law has been a Marine and for 13 years. In fact, has just came back from Afghanistan last year. But we were concerned about his father, who's gotten up in age, but is still very agile because he's a roofer. So I'm happy, very happy to report that about 20 minutes after I got through talking to Dorsell, and Dorsell said, hey, we're just going to thank God that they're going to be all right. About 20 minutes later, we received a call from my brother-in-law indicating that they were on their way to Houston and they got out safely. Later on in the hour, I expect to hear from him, and his son, who is my nephew, who is in here, just to talk about what it's like to be, you know, to wonder and not know from a child's perspective, as well as from someone who grew up in New Orleans, and my brother-in-law grew up in New Orleans. My younger sister met him when she attended Xavier University, and she graduated from there. She's a teacher at Courtney Ritter College Prep. So I know that she is so relieved, because even though she was certainly trying to be hopeful, it's very difficult. It's a very stressful situation when you don't know what the status of your loved one is. And I'm happy to see that they have established a number of sites and a number of postings where people can check to see that their loved ones are okay. It's just very heart-wrenching. But we must remain prayerful. And even though today we are going to discuss a bit about the response that the federal government has made, and to some people it may appear to be some negative discussion, but we're going to certainly end the day for our time that we're going to be here talking about some solutions. One of the things that my family and I and friends do every year, as you know, we always have the coat drive and hat and glove drive for foster babies, and we do a number of things. And basically what we do is we just do things, and we don't publicize a lot of them, but we help people, you know. As you know from talking with me before, and as Brother Prisoner pointed out yesterday, you know, I'm Catholic. Well, basically, I was raised a Catholic, you know, went to Catholic grade school and junior high school. My mother's an avid Catholic. And I was taught primarily by the Sisters of Charity. And one of the things that we were taught at a very young age, and we were very poor. okay, coming in up in Cochrane Housing Project. But of course, at that time, we didn't realize that we were poor, because if anyone needed anything in the buildings, we always shared with each other. But one of the things that we were taught at a very young age was to always share whatever it was you had. I can remember when we were little, we had those rice bowls, you know, that we put pennies in, nickels in, and we always said at that time, we were taught to say, you know, this money is for pagan babies overseas, and we would get pictures of them, and sometimes we would get correspondence. And so that is very much a part of the way I grew up, and it was instilled in me that if someone is in need, you know, kind of figure out some kind of way. So there have been times in my life, particularly in my professional life, that my financial situation has been pretty good, and I was able to do a lot. And there have been times in my life when that has not been the very best. Of course, that's the situation that I find myself in now. You know, I am very blessed, but I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, you know, what can I do? What can we do as extended family to assist? I am happy to say that some of the brothers and sisters who have been displaced in New Orleans will be traveling here to St. Louis and will be staying in St. Louis. So I thought about it, and certainly I commend the efforts of the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and those who are raising funds for those entities, those relief efforts that help all over the world. But extended family and community keepers and myself, we like to do a little bit more personal things. So we were planning to do an auction later on this month, and we're going to speed up that auction, and a lot of these things are things that are brand new. They're basically, you know, I bought or family members bought, and we were going to auction off, and we also have some antique items. But we're going to give that money to the families who are coming here directly to help them restore, to help them, you know, people are going to come and they're going to give clothes and things, but we also want them to have some money, because we want, unfortunately, in this country particularly, because it is a capitalistic country, people, you know, this is a buy, and people like to be in the position to do so. So we want families that are coming here to be in the position to do some things for themselves by giving them some funds. In addition to that, we would like to facilitate and adopt a family program. And this is not necessarily meant that you, because you may not be in a position to bring someone into your home, but it would be so good if the families who are coming to St. Louis would be able to have someone, a telephone number, a person that would come see them, spend time with them, talk with them. We're also asking that those of you in our community throughout the city who are trained as psychotherapists and counselors to volunteer your time, because these people have been psychologically traumatized as a result of their tremendous loss. Many of these people, I'm sure, have perhaps lost loved ones. Certainly they have lost all of their material possessions. Many of them come from very humble circumstances, because New Orleans is a very poor community. And so, sisters and brothers, first of all, I'm going to ask you to continue to pray for our people throughout the South, you know, not just in New Orleans, but in Mississippi and Alabama. You know, it's my understanding people in Florida are still without electricity. So, you know, just count our blessings. But at the same time, as it was indicated in the news, don't miss the opportunity to be blessed. Don't miss the opportunity to extend a blessing. So again, we will be giving more information out on the auction that we will be holding to benefit directly families that will be coming into St. Louis. And I certainly want to commend the efforts, as was secondhand reported to me from my neighborhood grandmother, Mother Grant, that Charles Dooley in St. Louis County is making available the old gumbo site as a facility. The other thing I would like to encourage the churches to reach out. We know that the most expeditious thing to do is to certainly provide spaces that are very large to shelter individuals. But it would also be good if some of the smaller churches churches could also open their doors so people would not have to be so warehoused, so to speak, and that they could feel and stretch out. These people have been tremendously traumatized. Let us open up every effort, every soft spot in our heart to assist individuals who have lost their homes. They have lost everything. They have lost their connectiveness with their community. So again, we will be talking about this more. And again, I say to you, Lord, just please continue to pray for our people who have been devastated by Christina throughout the South, and to really count our blessings. I'm going to go to the phone lines at this time. Good morning, Cindy.
Oh, good morning, and you are blessed. You made my day starting it out. I'd like to talk about the disaster there. I'm going to go and I'm going to give money to the Red Cross, and I'm also going to give blood and Salvation Army. I'm going to do everything I can to help as much as I can. And if I can, I would like to maybe take in an elderly person that needs care, because I just lost my mother in January. The 1st of August.
Okay. And I can say this, Cindy, in case you're not aware, and in doing the break, I will try to get the numbers. It is my understanding that Catholic Charities in the St. Louis area, if you are in the St. Louis area,
yes,
they're coordinating that. They're the agency in the city of St. Louis that has been designated, because they do that already a great deal, that they're coordinating that effort of finding shelter and individuals who are opening up their homes for individuals. And I think it's good that you know specifically where you would feel comfortable providing a shelter to someone.
Right.
So we're going to get that information.
An elderly person, because they have to be... I could take them to the doctor. I could get them, medical care. Someone, because a lot of them, people might want somebody that just they can be kind of on their own. But there's some people that really need that extra tender, loving care.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
I wanted to ask everybody out there, I know Labor Day is coming up, and a lot of people will be wanting to barbecue, and, everybody's getting their payroll checks, everybody's getting their checks, everybody's getting, you're blessed because, you can go on, but these people don't have money, and if they had money, it's not doing them no good, and they're not getting paychecks, they're counting on us. And we need to step out, and if you can, please give $10. If everybody would give $10.
Cindy, your point is well taken. Whatever you can give. And we know that in this day and age, there are people who live paycheck to paycheck.
Yes.
But it's always something.
Even a dollar.
Whatever it is, bit by bit, as my neighborhood grandmother, Ms. Grant, told me, bit by bit, little by little, every bit helps. So give what you can. The most important thing is that, you're giving it, and you're giving it from your heart.
Exactly.
Okay, so Cindy, I'm going to move on.
Oh, God,
thank
you
so very much for calling in.
And I'm so happy to hear that you got a hold of your family.
Oh, yes, I did. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. You started off with a beautiful Curtis Mayfield record that fits in with the condition now.
Yes, we have to. We have to do what we can.
Yes, I heard you mention, I sat up yesterday trying to get through to donate, but the line stayed busy and I didn't get through, so
yeah.
I had planned to donate from the day I heard they were having problems.
For those of you...
You were speaking of the Catholics.
Yes.
I feel that the Catholic churches has did more to help poor people than... this is my opinion, than any other faith. I really do, because I grew up around Catholic churches and people going to Catholic churches, and they were always giving and helping people. You can say things about people, different people have opinions about different people and faiths and things, but there's some good in every church,
Certainly, and churches, Catholic Church is a large church, and certainly they have done a great deal, but there are small churches
right.
that For real, in certain neighborhoods, small churches make the difference sometimes of whether or not some people have food on their table.
Right.
So, you know, this is a thing where every fit in, you know, get in where you fit in.
Right.
You know, but we will be pushing to do what we can to help individuals who have been affected.
Well, I'm trying to help whatever people are saying. I grew up the same way you did. We were very poor, but I saw my mother just give. If we didn't have enough for ourselves, she would still give something. Some people, you ask them to give, they go to telling you how they don't have enough to give and they don't have nothing. But if you're blessed to have anything, you have something to give. If you can't do nothing but go and help some old lady and go to the store for her and do things. It's not always money that you have to have. There's
exactly.
Other things you can have. But you was mentioning Percy Green.
Mm-hmm.
I called you on Monday and I was speaking to you about it. But he did so much for this community, and I was so proud to be there Saturday night to celebrate his 70th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into someone that told me they got their job at Laclede Gas through Percy Green with his effort of trying to help people in the city get jobs.
Okay.
They had people that was retiring from McDonald's Douglas that said that he helped them. So he did so much for this community and people. And when we know people has did a lot, we have to remember them when they have occasions.
Certainly.
Okay, you have a good day, Irene.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Mary. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is the morning wake-up call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Stay tuned. We'll be back with you after the break.
And love for our nation would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Eastbound 40, Timberlake Manor, there's an accident that's been cleared. Traffic slows from that point all the way into Mason Road. Route 109 at 44, those traffic lights are not working. They're on red flash. An accident blocking eastbound 44 on the ramp as well. It's about a quarter mile jam in both directions. The signals are also on red flash at Route 109 and 5th Street. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Dyer Road, look for slow traffic as well. Northbound 270 at 44, look for a very heavy volume. Northbound 55 between Green Park and Gasconade, no problems to report. Westbound 270 between Riverview and New Florissant Road, no problems there. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume as well. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, look for heavy volume. Westbound 40 from the ramp onto Forest Park Parkway is closed due to construction. That is traffic jammed all the way from Compton to Boyle. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 split at the Poplar Street Bridge all the way back to 4th Street. You can expect slow traffic this hour. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems there. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split, no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side onto Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Lindbergh at Olive, there's a report of an injury accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Saturday, mostly sunny and high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid 60s. Then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 80s. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Under sunny conditions, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65 and sunny skies as well. And we have a Sarah alert for a missing Metro East boy. There's a search that continues for a missing Metro East boy believed to have been taken by his grandmother. A Sarah alert was issued for 4-year-old Gage Nally of Bethalto just after 3 a.m. this morning. Bethalto police say Gage was last seen with his 43-year-old Loretta Hamby, his grandmother, while she took him out for ice cream at 6 p.m. last evening. Hamby is described as a white 43-year-old female. She may be driving a gold 2003 Kia Rio station wagon with Illinois license plate 610-3236. Gage is described as a young white male, 3 feet tall, approximately 37 pounds, with blonde hair, blue eyes. He was last seen wearing a red and black sleeveless basketball shirt, jean shorts, and white Nike shoes. Anyone who spots Gage or Hamby should call 911 immediately. That's a look at your local traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Liz Brown is on vacation. Instead, we have Irene J. Smith filling in for her on Wake Up Call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Does anybody know who that is? You know, I was a baby. That's the soul stirrers. And I was trying to get when the saints go marching in. But that's the Soul Stirrers from the CD When the Saints Go Marching In. All right. We're back. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Well, I'm going to go right to the phone lines. The phone lines are just totally lit up. I have been joined in the studio with my nephew, Howard Walker III, whose dad has safely gotten out of New Orleans. And later on, we're going to talk with Howard a little bit of what it felt like to worry about and be concerned about a parent that was not sure what the status of that person was. So I'm going to go to the phone lines. Good morning, Dolores.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Smith.
How are you?
Irene J. Smith.
boy, just plain. Can't do the plain Irene. But if you say my whole name, give me my J, and you did. Thank you.
And I know what J stands for.
Oh, you do?
Yes. And I salute you.
Thank you very much. So many people are to be commended for the things that they are doing, just individual instances that we don't even know about. We just thank everybody who has been working to help our people.
Good. And good morning to Master Howard Walker.
Good morning.
I heard your monologue, Dr. Smith. No condemnation, just consideration of the people in dire need. Listen, where can we call to assist you in your efforts?
Well, you can call 381-2430.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'll be glad to help, and I encourage St. Louis to help.
All right, and you've already helped. I'm going to let you all in on something a little later on that we've been doing. And since I've been on sabbatical from public life, I've learned to repair watches a little bit. And the sister who just left the line is someone who has taught me that. I'm going to move on because the lines are lit up. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Miss Irene Smith.
Give me my J if you're going to say my whole name.
Irene J. Smith, former alderperson.
Yeah.
Let me say this to you, Irene. When you mentioned how old Percy was, 70 years old, Percy Green was one of my mentors, Irene.
All right.
I remember when he was 16 or 17, he united the Compton Hill and the Mill Creek area when we first had our first sit-in downtown. And when he started advocating going down there to the arch, and then he chained himself to the arch. And then we went out to McDonnell Douglas. My man has been in the struggle so long, Irene, that I have forgotten how long I've been pounding on that pavement. But I want to move on. Pay congratulations to Percy Green, because he's one of the first people in this city that made me aware of all the racism and segregation and the denial of jobs to black men in this town. Thank you, Percy Green. Irene J. Smith, you used to be a former alderperson.
Yes, sir.
How is our emergency evacuation programs in this city? Are they up to par?
I don't know, but you bring about a question that I know that we've had some improvements over the years, because at one point our emergency sounding system wasn't working, and I guess one of the things that we can probably thank, I believe it was Mayor Harmon, for is making sure that those systems were upgraded, and maybe I don't want to give credit to someone. I think he continued it, but I think it started actually under Mayor Bosley. And so one of the things that has struck my curiosity, and actually is interesting how like minds just run the same way, I had started a letter to the director of SEMA just to see if we have available evacuation plan, emergency medical plan, things of that nature. So I don't know specifically, but I do know that the city has been working on it, and at various times had brought over to the board, through the Board of Public Safety, sections that they were working on for input as well.
You know, we sit right here in the middle of Tornado Alley.
Oh, yes.
We have a earthquake fault, pneumatic fault right up under us. But you know what amazed me about this catastrophe down there in the Southland is the lack of communication through the leadership. But last night I was made to be aware that a young man had stolen a school bus in New Orleans and started driving toward Baton Rouge. You mean all this time they've had those school buses down there and haven't been trying to use them to evacuate the people out of New Orleans? That's what brought me to the question. If we were to have major catastrophes on the Northwest and, you know, in California, here in the central part of the United States, are we as prepared as our leaders try to tell us? Because I'm watching how slow FEMA is reacting. If the federal government is slow to react, Irene, it gives me pause to think, what about our own city here?
Well, I think that's a good question that we should certainly inquire about it now. And we're going to talk a little bit about FEMA's inability to respond, and I think a lot of that has to do with the creation of the Homeland Security funds that have been taken from FEMA. With respect to the school buses, it's my understanding that a lot of those school buses were underwater. Maybe there were some of them that were available, but I mean, I just thank God that the young man had the mindset to get a load of people and to take them out of harm's way.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, what he may have done, the way he did it, a lot of people may say that, oh, he shouldn't have did that, but he saved some lives. And I think that New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm sure they have a defense that is known as justification, where you take steps to prevent the loss of life. And I think certainly this situation would apply.
You know, if there's anybody you know down in City Hall to be able to discuss this, I really wish you could bring them
on there. What we will attempt to do perhaps next week to see if we can get perhaps the director of SEMA, which is the St. Louis agency that handles, that is charged with the responsibility of overseeing that, and we'll see if we can get that person on.
Miss Smith?
Yes.
If you get a chance, there's a song you're going to need to listen to since you talked about Percy Green.
Okay.
I've been in a storm too long.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're back to taking a break. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Thank you. We'll be back.
That'll be a great day.
It's new, it's awesome, and it's coming to St. Clair Square. It's Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys, and you'll be the first to see it and experience it at Kids Expo 2005, Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Kids Expo is the place to see the next generation of yo-yo and learn exciting new tricks from expert Yo-Stick performers. Kids Expo is also the place to see family-oriented products and services, information and education, and activities and entertainment. Visit the SPC Treasure Cove in Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes, including the Captain's Treasure Chest. See the Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys and much, much more at Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th, in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. Get more details on the World Wide Web at spcshows.com.
This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
What's on the mind of today's teenagers? Find out on T3, Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
To me, summer is family time. A time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, World of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open weekends. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh. What's really important? What a wonderful world. Let me go to the phone lines. They're all lit up. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, praises to the Almighty. You know, I've heard many comments concerning this tragedy, and it's a tragedy indeed. But, you know, most of us don't even understand what we're looking at or what it's all about, and especially with the scriptures, because most people have been told that the scriptures is about a feel-good theology, and it has no substance for what's going on today. Well, let me share with you. According to the Word of God, we're looking at the beginning of His wrath, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get a heck of a lot worse. But as a matter of fact, the Scripture says, like the time that never since the beginning of mankind. And so, therefore, our people don't understand, especially our people, they don't understand who they are. They don't understand why this is happening to them. But the Word says that He will gather Israel. We are the nation. We are the descendants of those people. And He will have us to cry out to Him so that He can hear our cry. And He will come, but it's going to be a lot of suffering involved here. And we can keep deceiving ourselves and saying, I don't believe it, even though it's taking place right in front of our eyes. We can keep saying, well, we've heard it before, but you haven't seen nothing like you're going to see. And I'm begging our people, I'm begging all of the people to please go back to your Word and read it. Don't go in there talking about anything. You got to do is believe, because the Almighty says obey, especially to the children of Israel. You've got to obey the words of your God. You've got to turn around and leave all this mess that we've been taught. We've got to return back to God and obey every word that He has commanded of us to do. And that's the only way we're going to survive this onslaught that's about to hit this earth. So I'm begging you, and I'm begging all of the people, go back to your pastors. Beg your pastors to tell you the truth about who you are and what we're supposed to be doing at this time. Where are all the TD Jakes? Where are all the Cleflo dollars, the Fred Price, all these big black churches that have taken our people money for eons? Where is the help for our people now? And I hear the lay people calling in offering what all that they have to offer, and I too am offering my home to house our people. We have to come together. We have to lift up our one another. We have to embrace our people because the whole world is against us. We don't need to be against ourselves. We need to come together at this time and embrace them, bring them home, nurture them, and give them what they need to so that they can survive. And I pray that this message go out to everyone. I pray that our people are hearing. Ask your pastors to tell you the truth and take you away from this feel-good theology and give you the true essence of the Word of God.
Thank you,
sister. You guys be blessed.
Thank you very much, sister. I think one of the things that our sister just indicated is, you know, a lot of people will say go back to your pastors, but seek wisdom for yourself as well. Seek an understanding as well. And I think it was the mayor of San Antonio last night said something. And, you know, we talk about what we can do to shore up the levees and what we can do to make bridges earthquake-proofed. And all of these things, we...
if you'd like to make a... Please hang up and try again.
We talk about all of this, but in the final analysis, what man does in no way compares to the power of the Almighty in terms of what nature can do in terms of hurricanes, earthquakes, and I understand and I believe a lot of what the sister said, and certainly number one, the Almighty will get our attention. And one thing for sure, we know who's in control. And it is not us. It is the Supreme Being. I'm going to continue to go to the phones. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, sister. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You know, I was listening to the speakers about Percy Green, and I was blessed to be able to be in attendance to his birthday party. And I once again would say happy birthday to one of my heroes. And I don't think many people realize that Percy Green operated in the spirit of his people at the risk of his own life. I don't think people really understand.
Hey, Bill, I'm going to ask you to hold on because I have my brother-in-law who just got out of New Orleans. He and his dad.
Well, I can call you back. Right?
I have him on the line.
But go ahead. I'll listen.
Okay, thank you, brother. Feel free to call back.
Okay.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Howard. Good morning.
Tell us who you are.
Well, this is Howard Walker Jr. with Howard Walker Sr. in tow from New Orleans, Louisiana. Well, refugees from New Orleans now.
Well, and we have Howard Walker III in the studio with us this morning. Say hi to your dad.
Hey, Daddy.
Good morning, Snanky.
Howard, if you can, and we appreciate you calling in, I might have to ask you to call back, too, because I'd like to talk to you a little bit after the news, which we're approaching very shortly here. But can you just tell us initially, because you, I know my Venus had talked with you earlier, and you and your father had made the decision not to leave, even though, you know, they were asking. So can you tell us, just kind of share with us why you all kind of came to the conclusion that you were going to just kind of ride it out?
Well, the last storm that we had, I believe it was a few months ago, I usually operate according to my father's wishes, so he didn't want to leave. His mentality is, well, he's lived in that house for over 40 years. He's buried a child out of that house. So if they carry him out, it's going to be feet first. So, of course, I have to be there to take care of him. So the decision was made Sunday that we'd stay.
Okay.
Well, the storm came, the storm passed, and it was sort of like the last storm. Not much rain, just a lot of wind. I'm sure you've seen the news, so I don't have to tell you what the area looked like after the storm passed, but there was no water. So Monday, we came out, he started cleaning up. Then all of a sudden, we see people running back up the street saying the water's coming back, the water's coming back. Apparently the 17th Street Canal broke.
How far does your dad live from the 17th Street Canal?
The 17th Street Canal basically is the dividing line between Orleans Parish and Jefferson Parish. Basically, it's a network of canals that surrounds New Orleans, bordered by the river and the lake. So we live about 10 miles from the 17th Street Canal.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was that, and part of it was the rescue effort in the 9th Ward, which is really the lowest part of the city, almost. They've always had problems with flooding, and there were already people on top of their roofs that night while a storm was going on. So it's just speculation at this point, but a lot of people are under the impression now that some of that water was pumped back into the city, uptown where we live, and downtown in the CBD to try to help save those people in the 9th Ward.
Okay.
And basically, the situation is, I'm sure you, like I said, you're watching the news, so the situation is basically going from bad to desperate.
Okay.
In the past few hours, we were in our house for about 3 days. We were trying to decide what we were going to do, where we were going to go.
Howard, we're gonna be going to the news until about 10 after 8. And I'm going to ask you if you can, because I know you're probably on your cell phone, to call us back at that time.
Not a problem. I'll call back.
Okay. Thank you so much.
See you, dear. All
right.
This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We will be back after the news with more conversations about Katrina and its impact on our people.
What a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. Officials are defending the federal response to the disastrous situation in New Orleans. FEMA Director Michael Brown spoke on ABC's Good Morning America.
Every urban search and rescue team in this country is down here right now trying to rescue people. The Coast Guard is down here trying to get these people out. And I know that when we get someone on camera who hasn't eaten for 2 or 3 days because they just got out of their home, that drives me nuts.
Last night, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin lashed out at federal officials.
There is nothing happening. And they're feeding the public a line of bull, and it's spinning, and people are dying down here.
The mayor on WWL Radio. President Bush is leaving for Mobile, Alabama, where he begins a day-long tour of the devastation.
It is as if the president has embarked on 2 hurricane visits, the heartbreaking tour of Alabama and Mississippi beach communities, then mid-afternoon, the fear and danger of New Orleans. It is unclear how far into the troubled city President Bush will be able to go.
ABC's Ann Compton. It is extremely dangerous in New Orleans. Reports of shootings, looting, rapes, and robberies. Hundreds of police have quit. 300 National Guard troops just back from Iraq have arrived in the city. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco has given them shoot-to-kill orders.
I'm not going to tolerate them threatening people.
She expects they will have to shoot. Thousands continue to wait for buses out of New Orleans. In Houston, the Astrodome is full, and they're opening other centers. County spokesman Doug Atkinson says they're running out of supply.
We are asking folks who want to help and deliver canned foods, diapers, or, you know, anything they feel that can be a help here.
Continental Airlines is donating 1,000 tickets for victims to use to relocate. They're being given to relief agencies. Germany is supporting a U.S. request for the release of international oil reserves, that to help deal with a supply shortage resulting from Hurricane Katrina. This is ABC News.
It's Kohl's A to Z sale, and that means that everything from A to Z is on sale. No gimmicks, no exclusions, no exceptions, no kidding. Don't miss 2 full days of store-wide savings this Friday and Saturday. Plus, get special savings during power hours. Night Owls shop Friday, 3 to 11 p.m. Early Birds shop Saturday, 7 till noon. And you'll save even more on hundreds of things for your family, home, and back to school. All at extra power hour savings during Kohl's A to Z sale. Friday and Saturday only. Kohl's. Expect great things.
I'm Tom, and today's my ninth day with Prilosec OTC. Because of frequent heartburn, I couldn't even enjoy my kids' games. But with Prilosec OTC, that's all changed. Now, when my daughter's soccer team takes on the Wolverines, I'm there yelling. She really hates that. Imagine, zero heartburn for 24 hours with one pill a day. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. It's day 9 for me. What day are you on?
Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn.
Robert Blake was acquitted of murdering his wife. Now his civil trial is underway in Los Angeles. More on that from ABC's Gil Gross.
The lawyer for Bonnie Lee Bakley's four daughters told the jury in this wrongful death suit that Robert Blake's wife did some stupid things, but loved her kids and was in the PTA. Blake's lawyer said this was a woman who scammed money from men by sending nude pictures of herself. It was not an auspicious start for the Bakley family attorney, Eric Dubin. After he persisted in presenting arguments rather than facts in his opening, the judge just stopped him. You mean my whole opening statement's over, asked Dubin? Said the judge. Yes. Gil Gross, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Job numbers are out. The Labor Department says unemployment fell to 4.9% last month. That's a four-year low. President Bush asking Americans to conserve gasoline, but AAA says despite high gas prices, millions of Americans are expected to hit the road for the long holiday weekend. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the Missouri Attorney General's office has a warning for anyone who engaged in preying on the public with fraudulent Hurricane Katrina charity scams. Jim Gardner, a spokesperson for Jay Nixon's office, says action will be taken against these individuals.
Rightfully so, individuals are responding from the extreme spike in gas prices we've all seen over the past few days. And in fact, the Attorney General has already started working to ascertain the scope and the nature of the problem.
It's recommended that you use a check or a check card rather than cash to keep a record of your donations. Nixon's Check a Charity program is available online at www.ago.mo.gov. Another charge has been filed against a sexual assault suspect in the Metro East. Samuel Levitan of Collinsville faces a new charge of criminal sexual assault, bringing the total number of charges against him to 4. Police say the most recent alleged victim met Levitan in a chat room and later went to his home, where he allegedly assaulted her. Levitan remains in the Madison County Jail, where his bond has been raised to $500,000. Drivers on a crowded Metro East roadway may get some relief thanks to federal highway dollars. Illinois Congressman John Shimkus says officials are still trying to finalize what will happen with the upcoming work on Route 159. More than $1.5 billion are earmarked for work on Route 159. Shimkus calls the road a choke point for traffic between Interstate 64 and 70. Another fundraiser is being planned for the family of a slain Kirkwood police officer. The Bill McEntee Memorial Bike Ramble is set for 6:30 tomorrow morning at the Kirkwood Community Center. Organizers hope to raise $15,000 with this fundraiser. For more information on tomorrow's event, call 314-965-1068. Finally this hour, the Rams and Chiefs will battle for the Governor's Cup when the two teams tangle at the Edward Jones Dome at 7 o'clock this evening. The Rams hold a 9-6 advantage in 15 preseason meetings with the Chiefs, but Kansas City has taken the Governor's Cup each of the last 3 years. With the regular season opener 9 days away, the Rams starters will see little, if any, action. Jamie Martin and Ryan Fitzpatrick will take the majority of snaps at quarterback for the Rams offense, while Jonathan Quinn will make the start for the Chiefs. The Rams are 2-1 this preseason, while the Chiefs are 0-3. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sears. Right now, Sears has every kind of jeans for every kind of person on sale. Levi's, Bongo, LEI, U.S. Polo, Lee, and more. Now through Tuesday at Sears. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the hour's traffic and weather. The hour's traffic is sponsored by Zantrax 3. Westbound 40 at Hanley, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Traffic jams all the way through Clayton Skinker. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge. Look for road construction. Right lane is closed as crews are in the final stage of bridge work. There's no delays this hour. Eastbound 40 is slow from Ballas all the way to Clayton Morrison. Eastbound 44 from Lewis to Merrimack River Bridge. Look for no problems to report there. Northbound 270 is bumper to bumper before 44 all the way into Marshall Road. Northbound 55 from Bayless to 44, you can expect no problems this hour. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way into New Florissant Road, no problems there. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, you've got heavy traffic as well. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, you've got slow traffic in the right lane and it's jammed all the way to 270 at this hour. Westbound 40 between the ramp from Forest Park Parkway is closed to the construction. That traffic jams from Jefferson to Boyle in both directions. 270 at Ladue and 40 is slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. You've got stop-and-go traffic in your 8 a.m. commute. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. You've got slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow from Illinois Bank all the way onto Laclede's Landing. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Xantrex 3, the most powerful diet pill in America. Xantrex 3, more weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. Xantrex 3, yes, at stores nationwide, or you can log on to Xantrex3.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, mostly sunny skies with a high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid 60s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 68 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 67, both under sunny conditions. Liz Brown is on vacation. However, Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Every day that goes by, every moment you will find, there's a broken heart, a tear is cried, a wish is made that never comes true. And somewhere,
many of my bad
needs to be found. All the things we do, the things we say.
All right. This gentle rays of hope. It's up to us. It is up to us individually to do what we can to help anybody in need, but particularly the individuals who have suffered through the devastation of Christina. I'm going to go through the phone lines. I'm expecting Howard Walker to call us back, and we're going to talk further with him about how it was that they got out. Long distance.
Good morning, Ms. Smith.
Good morning.
Prince Carter calling long distance.
Hey, Prince, how are you?
I tell you, this has been a horrible week, watching the devastation down in Louisiana. I just saw the president, on CNN heading for that area, nearly 5 days later.
Mm.
You know, a lot of our tax dollars in the aftermath of 9/11 went in the name of Homeland Security. Mm. And this were a terrorist attack, it is proven that that mechanism that was put in place does not work and cannot be effective at assisting the citizens in this country. We're supposed to be so-called protected with these dollars in the name of Homeland Security. Homeland Security is not aiding and assisting the folks in Louisiana, and I think that we all should be mindful of what's going on there. It's Louisiana and Mississippi today. It could be any city in this country.
Yes.
And we need to put something in place to make sure that these folks are held accountable for how they're allocating these dollars. There needs to be some checks and balances and some accountability for how this money is being spent. If they're spending it in a way where it's not going to be useful to the people, what's the use of spending it? You know, and I think the mayor of New Orleans, I commend him for finally stepping up last night and going public with his outrage, but it's 3 or 4 days late.
Actually, he had expressed outrage and it wasn't being widely broadcast before last night. But it's a situation that certainly I'm hoping that there will be some congressional hearings into, and shortly I'm going to read a quote from an article of Will Bunch and a statement actually that is actually from the emergency management chief for Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, that was published back in June of last year, and I think it's quite interesting. Thanks, Prince, for calling in. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you, Irene.
Okay, bye-bye. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Ms. Smith?
Yes, it is, Gina.
First of all, I'd like to say my heart and prayers are going out to the people in Alabama, Mississippi, and most especially in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I were discussing this morning. We're so outraged at FEMA and Homeland Security. We can't even express it in words. But, you know, God helps those who help themselves. And the second thing that I want to say is that to all of these mega preachers, I think, you know, we have to take it upon ourselves to move and act. Those of us who have the wherewithal, you know, could be in a position at this point to negotiate their way in. It appears to me that certain people are able to drive into New Orleans to some distance.
Mm-hmm.
And with these churches calling for praise and worship on Sunday morning and raising these huge facilities and calling out for mega fests, now is the time to really act upon what you preach every Sunday morning.
That's
these people
right.
are desperate.
That's right. Faith without works is dead.
It's dead. And we are sitting here saying, where are they? I haven't heard anybody come forward and say, look, we're not going to wait on FEMA. We're not going to wait on Homeland Security. These are our people dying.
And the other thing that we have to be mindful of, because, sister, I think you're bringing up a very good point, which was has been brought up previously by another caller, is that a lot of things that people are doing and is not being publicized, okay? So in the event that it is not being done, I think your point is very well taken, but I am hopeful that just as you indicated, that you know they raise up these big edifices.
Yes.
And some of them are colosseums.
Exactly.
And so we need to see them do this.
We need to see them because some of these edifices are in close proximity to where these people are hurting.
Exactly.
I say move buses, do what you can, bring down church buses, load people up, feed them. Give them water, take them to these edifices until they can get their lives back in order. Start acting on God's word now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you
much.
So much. Thank you so much. Look, I've been waiting. In fact, he was on earlier. I think I have my brother-in-law back.
I want to hear him. I heard him earlier. I'd like to hear what he has to say.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear. Howard, you're back with us. Sorry that we couldn't get to you as quickly after coming back from the news.
Oh, that's okay. I just called.
Okay. So we were at the point where we were discussing when the waters, you know, I guess the levee had broke, the 17th Street.
I'm good.
Is that it?
The 17th Street Canal, right.
Okay, and so you go on from there.
Okay, well, once we realized the water's coming up, we realized the water was coming up, so we said, well, we'll stay in the house. We because our house is pretty high up off the ground.
Okay.
So we have at least, our first floor is at least 6 to 8 feet off of the ground itself.
Okay.
So Tuesday, you know, once we realized the water had come up, we said, well, we should be all right right here. The first floor was still dry. We had food in the refrigerator. Although we had no power, we still had gas and running water.
Okay.
So, being from New Orleans, you know, people like to cook. So, my dad says, get down there and cook. So, I cook. But later on in the day, the water was cut off.
Okay.
No problem. We still have gas. I can still cook, you know, the food that's left. Well, then Wednesday comes along, the gas is cut off. So, slowly but surely, the decision is made, okay, we have to get out of here now.
Okay.
So, we get on the roof and just start flagging down every helicopter we see.
Okay.
Until yesterday when a Black Hawk picked us up.
Okay. And how would you've been you were a Marine for what, 13 years?
13 years.
Okay. And how soon after you all were picked up where were you taken to?
Well, we were taken to approximately where at first we were taken to approximately where the I'm trying to think here, canal. We were close to Jefferson Parish. I can't say for sure if we were in Jefferson Parish or not.
Okay.
Now, once again, anybody who knows anything about Orleans.
Well, let me ask you this. In proximity to the Superdome?
Right.
How far? Were you taken to the Superdome?
No, we were not. The decision was made early Wednesday morning, I believe, if my information is correct, which I got from the news, that they stopped bringing people to the Superdome late Tuesday night because the situation had already gotten chaotic there.
Okay.
So
they transported you from your home to where?
To I-10, the interstate.
Okay.
Right where they were loading people on buses to send them to Houston.
Okay. Well, in Houston, were you sent to
the Astrodome.
The Astrodome?
Right. But when we got there, I guess we arrived about 8 o'clock last night, the Astrodome was already full.
Okay.
So they were going to send us on to Dallas, but our bus driver, I didn't catch his name, he got on the phone, he made some phone calls and found a little Catholic church called St. Bartholomew.
Okay.
In Katy, Texas.
Okay.
And that's where we're at now.
Okay, so you're actually in Katy, Texas at this time.
Right.
Okay. Because we have seen coverage on CNN where, say, for example, there was a family who had basically walked and hitchhiked to Houston, and they
right.
had not come from the Superdome, and they were not allowed in to the Astrodome. And, of course, to us, that made no sense because once it's full, you know,
right.
and they were there. So now that you all are there, I'm sure that you are very, very relieved to have gotten your dad out. I understand your aunt went to Louisville, Mississippi,
right.
and they are all safe.
Right.
So our family has certainly been blessed in terms of not having any fatalities as a result of this.
Right.
Howard, I mean, you grew up in New Orleans, you know. I mean, you've been, you know, you just came back from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does it really feel like? You know, knowing that, you know, basically probably the house is gone.
Well, I know it's a tough house. It was built in 1918. It's been through that kind of thing before. It's not so much my house I'm worried about because, you know, material things can be replaced.
That's right.
I don't know how, I guess my mind is on autopilot. I'm trying to get up there to St. Louis, so I'm occupying my mind
mm-hmm.
with things to take my mind off of just sitting and thinking about just
mm-hmm.
the level of the inhumanity that's going on in New Orleans right now.
Okay.
But,
okay, why don't you expound on that when you say the level of the inhumanity?
Well, I'm sure you all have seen the news, so, I mean, you really don't need me to go into too much more detail, but the convention center is basically you go there to die.
Okay.
I think the worst part of it is Superdome and Convention Center and just the city in general,
mm-hmm.
there's a lack of information. For example, I know at home we didn't have a radio, even those little clock radios that you put the batteries in.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds bad coming from a Marine. You know, Marines are always prepared. But, you know, who ever is prepared for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people shooting at the helicopters who are trying to evacuate patients from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people had come from surrounding parishes with boats to try to come into the city and come onto the side streets. But those people, they fear for their life, which mm-hmm. you really can't blame them.
Mm-hmm. How is your dad?
Oh, he's doing fine.
Okay.
He checked up by a Red Cross medic when we got here, and he's got his medication, so he's doing fine. That's the only thing I made sure to grab was his medication.
Okay. Well,
once we were on the roof, once the Black Hawk saw us, it was go now or don't go. So.
Okay. Well, we're certainly glad that you all got out, and I'm glad we had an opportunity to talk to you because a lot of people were very critical of individuals who made the decision to stay. And a lot of people called in and explained, and people said, when they told them to get out, they should get out. And I'm glad that we had an opportunity to talk to you so that you can more fully explain, what went into you all's thinking in terms of staying. Because as you indicated, you all have been through this before. You withstood the storm before. And so again, we just thank God that you and your dad and the rest of the family got out. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the people in the listening audience? We have people listening from all over the country. So if there's anything else that you would like to say, just please say it.
Well, the only thing I can say as far as I and my father are concerned, we're all right. I survived Afghanistan. A little water is not going to kill me, but your hearts and prayers really should go out to the people who are still stuck in New Orleans. There are still literally thousands of people stuck on their roofs, stuck in their houses with nothing. And the situation is going quickly from desperate to practically barbaric in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep praying, and if you can donate something to the Red Cross, these people have been phenomenal over here in Katy, Texas. You get a chance to thank a National Guardsman, law enforcement, notwithstanding a lot of the ones in New Orleans who basically quit their jobs. But, the rescue effort is going slowly, but it's going. They're putting forth their best foot. They're putting their best foot forward. It's simply outstanding considering the conditions. So that's all I have. I don't want to take up all your airtime.
Okay.
I'm reconning the area so I can find a way out of here. So.
All right.
Daddy, I was about to say, now, this probably don't sound how much I love New Orleans, but do you think that it's probably sinking now? Like sinking on
the not way? Yet, but it will be.
Okay. Okay. Well, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and please give your dad our regards and say we look very forward to seeing him here in St. Louis, and I know Lil Howard looked forward to seeing the both of you. So take care, brother, and we'll see you real soon.
I will be alone.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, we got one account, and of course we got an account from someone who was, was a soldier, he's
Marine.
A Marine, and who survived Afghanistan and who grew up in New Orleans and certainly is going to give any kind of play he can to the military in terms of their effort, and we certainly appreciate the effort of everyone who is trying to aid and assist in New Orleans. But like these last few minutes before we go to the break, because then when I come back, I want to go to the phones, I'm going to just talk a little bit briefly with my nephew, who is here in the studio with me, who is the son of my brother-in-law that we just heard. Howard, what did it feel like when after Monday we hadn't heard from your dad and grandfather? What was going through your mind? And tell us how old you are first.
I'm 11 years old.
And what grade are you in school?
I'm in sixth grade.
And where do you attend school?
I attend school at Loyola Academy.
Okay. So tell us, what was going through your head?
Really, I was kind of just hoping they were all right, but then I wasn't really sure. But then I was just saying that it was on the grace of God if they make it out or not.
Okay. And what were you doing? What were you doing to stay focused on that? What did you do?
Most time I prayed, cried, and watched CNN.
Okay. And you were watching CNN very closely because a lot of those times you were with me because your mom teaches at Cardinal Ritter and you haven't gone back to school yet. And the area that CNN was covering was very close.
Very.
Close to where your grandfather's home is. What were you thinking when you saw the water rise?
I was thinking that they should be all right because it wasn't that high.
Okay, and you knew that your grandfather had a two-story house?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you told me something that the reason why you thought that your dad and grandfather would make. What did you say about your dad?
I said that my dad was a Marine that prepared for anything.
Yeah, and we just heard him say that he didn't have any batteries, but we can laugh about that now because they got out okay. Well, Howard, I know that you were relieved. I know when we got the news, my mom and my brother came with the news, and then just as my nephew was walking through my door yesterday with my daughter, I told him that we had heard from his dad, and you should have saw the dancing that he broke into and thanking God for that. So, sisters and brothers, we have a long way to go. We have a lot to do for our people who are being devastated throughout the South in Mississippi, Alabama, and I know a lot of the focus has been on New Orleans because of the large number of people who are being impacted there. But let us not forget those individuals in Mississippi, Biloxi, all along the Gulfport, in Alabama, who have been impacted by Christina. So wherever we can fit in and help out, let us do so. We're nearing the bottom of the hour. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or we can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We'll be back with you after the break. Stay tuned, callers. I'm going to get right to you.
Now every day in this life, every moment you find, a heart is healed, a dream is found, a tear is dried.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Traffic Law Hotline. In your traffic, let's take a look and see what we've got here. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for us. Heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. You've got heavy volume. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. It's jammed all the way to 270. Westbound 40, the Forest Park Parkway ramp is closed for construction. That traffic is jammed from Jefferson all the way back to Boyle. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop and go traffic. Northbound Route 3. From 8th Street onto the PSB, you have slow traffic still in the right lane as you merge. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for slow traffic, and westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way onto Laclede's Landing, you have stop-and-go traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Traffic Law Hotline. If you get a speeding ticket, driving while suspended, or DWI, Traffic Law Hotline will give your case prompt personal attention, so call the Traffic Law Hotline at 314-TRAFFIC. That's 314-TRAFFIC. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s today. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 69 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 67 under sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of the Wake Up Call with your special guest host, Irene J. Smith, filling in for Liz Brown, who is on vacation. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
When you're weary. In times of trouble, in times of crisis, the American Red Cross is there, providing shelter, a warm meal, a helping hand. Victims of disasters need your help now. Your support for the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund makes help possible. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today.
Help the victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org. Today, together, we can save a life.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
This is AM 920, WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow.
Ooh, who really cares? We do. We care, and let's show it. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Michael. Guess Michael's not there. Good morning, Arlene.
Irene?
Oh, yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Let me take you off the speakerphone.
That would be good.
Okay. Oh, I just had it on while I was waiting for you to come back. This is Earlene Thomas. How you doing?
Hey, Earlene. How are you?
Oh, happy for you.
Thank you.
I know you got your shouting shoes on. You're down there doing the dance where you can't see.
I can't even. You don't even know. Want to know? I mean, I was just singing, shouting praises to the man in control.
I know. Well, one of the reasons I called because I heard a number of people calling and saying, you know, well, where are the preachers? Where are the T.D. Jakes? I actually saw T.D. Jakes. Believe it was on one of the cable network news programs like Tuesday or Wednesday, and he said, you know, his Potter's House church in Dallas
mm-hmm.
already had people on their way with food. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think we need to get away from this just because I didn't see it. It's not happening.
Exactly.
And as you know, told the people, a lot of things are going on without fanfare. People are just doing
exactly.
what they're doing. And like your brother-in-law said, there's one small church stepped in. So let's stop criticizing. Like you said, you don't have to wait for your pastor.
That's right.
You know, you get off your duff and you do something. If you've got a home that you can you know, let someone use or a room, go online. If you don't have a computer, go to the library. But, you know, we're so quick to criticize, you know, well, where's the T.D. Jakes, where's the whatever. I call my bishop, and because Paul Morton is over the full gospel that my church is part of, and, you know, even though he's down in the floodplain, they have already had conference calls.
Exactly.
Working to get things done. So, you know, instead of criticizing, you know, we need to be in prayer for the what's going on. And then my other comment is, like the gentleman said about all the money going to Homeland Security, our country likes to have a reason to get out of a war to save face.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed in Vietnam for years because nobody could figure out, well, how do we get out, you know, and save face? Well, I'm going to email and write and call the White House and say this is our save face to get out of Iraq. Say, excuse me, but we've got our own people to deal with, and we'll see you. So mm-hmm. if ever Bush had a reason to get out of Iraq and the billions of dollars that we're spending it, this gives him his saving grace. And then one final comment, I really wish the Weather Bureau would stop naming hurricanes. I felt this since I was a child watching Hurricane Camille on TV, and I remember saying, you know, well, what if your name was Camille? Wouldn't you feel bad? I have a very dear friend named Katrina. You know, and I called her the other day, and I said, Katrina, I love you, and I'm going to say your name in a loving way because right now your name, you know, is being bandied about. And she says, oh, I've already had people walk up saying, oh, you're down there killing people. You know, I mean, out of ignorance. So, you know, it's a minor thing, but, you know, somewhere when this is all over, maybe they could just come up and give them a letter. You know, this is the K24 hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
There are little girls out there in school now named Katrina who are
mm-hmm.
probably, you know, unknowingly and not maybe meaning to be mean, but people say cruel things.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
is something
point well taken. Point well taken.
You know.
And, you know, they didn't start this until 1953.
Right.
And initially, they just simply named the hurricanes after females, and it wasn't until 1979 that they started incorporating male names.
Yeah, I think now when some of the other women's groups kind of protested and said, wait a minute, why are you always naming these things with fury? And as I say, you probably remember we were kids when Camille
mm-hmm.
came up, you know, and you kept thinking like Camille. And it to me, it humanizes it, you know what I'm saying? And it
mm-hmm.
and then it maybe demonizes the person who may have that name. And I think the female names even more so. I don't think there are many Andrews maybe who were walked around when Hurricane Andrew hit, or even Ivan. But somehow or another, the female names just seem to really stick out there. So, I mean, can you imagine anybody going to school right now, you know, what's your name? Well, my name is Katrina Davis. That's something, when this is all said and done, that they need to think about. But,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And, I mean, that's an internet, the International Meteorological Society actually comes together to come up with the name.
Sure.
And so it certainly can be changed.
And they've got some already ready. They've got the next initiative for the next tropical storm or whatever.
Right.
You know, they've already got a name. It'll be a male name. But maybe that's something that we can do it out. But, you know, keep up the good work. And like you said to people, don't criticize what your pastors or whatever are not doing, because...
Right, and you can do it.
Like I say, Jakes was on TV, and I saw him, and he said, hey, we already got food banks going. So just because those people didn't see them, don't mean it's not being done.
That's correct. Thank you so much, Erlene.
Have a
good day. Good morning, George. Good morning, George. I guess George is not there. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Hey, you know, I know the sister, you know, very sincere that you just spoken with, but I would like to comment and just add to, you know, the sister that called earlier this morning and spoke about T.D. Jakes and the cash flow dollars, how they mega fest and all these other things, but, you know, at crucial times, which I know, you know, the people are down there in New Orleans are experiencing, you know. We've been so long in this country, we relate everything in our different religions, and I want to bring a point, just like the sister spoke this morning, that people, the Africans brought here to America as slaves are the Hebrews, and we've lost that identity. But to bring this point, you know, to bring some validity to it, I just want anybody that has the quarters that they have right now, on the back of the quarters, a lot of them now they have states on the back of these quarters. On one particular quarter, the quarter of Virginia is on there. They have three slave ships, and they have the date. 1607 to 2007, which, you know, is a prophecy of Israel being in Egypt 400 years. You know, symbolically, Egypt is a point of affliction, which we've have experienced here in America. But the strange thing about this coin, it says 1607 to 2007. 2007 has not come yet. And it relates to us, you know. The God that the Hebrews serve is a very jealous God. He would be jealous of Jesus, this Islamic gods, and every other god you might put out there to him, you know. And before the Hebrews ever left Egypt, he always contended with those gods first, you know. Always fought these gods of Egypt. He dealt with them first, and we know down there in in Louisiana and New Orleans and all the rest of that stuff with Mardi Gras and all that different types of stuff that they were dealing with, all those different gods and stuff that they dealt with. Surely the Most High would contend with it if they are the Hebrew people. And I'd just like people to take a look at that quarter there. You know, it says 1607. You might need a magnifying glass for it. 1607 to 2007. That's my comment right now.
Thank you. Thank you, brother, for your comment. I'm going to move on. Good morning.
How you doing, my sister?
Good morning.
Okay, how you doing to my nephew? Everybody is out of New Orleans, peaceful and safe. All I have to say is that they are trying to make the mayor of New Orleans look bad. I heard, if you look at some of the news broadcast on all of the radio, CNN, MSNBC, and all of this, and Fox, they trying to make the mayor of New Orleans like he don't know what he's doing. But the Giuliani, he knew what he was doing at 9/11.
Well, one thing for sure, there are two different types of tragedies that took place. And the other thing is that the state government has stepped in, so we're not exactly sure who is in control. And later on in the hour, we might talk about a little bit of whether or not martial law has been declared, what martial law is, and so forth. But I think your point is very well taken. We're nearing a break time, my brother, so I'm going to have to move on. But thanks for your call. Okay? Good morning.
Yes, soldier woman, you know, like these morning shows, the great network morning shows, they've just been waylaying into the Bush administration and FEMA. So apparently the 911 syndrome is coming to an end after 4 years. You know, it still seems tragically, Ms. Smith, that the president's still more concerned about Baghdad than New Orleans. I hate to say that, but if the shoe fits, wear it. We sure got into Baghdad real fast, didn't we, and took control. But just one more thing, Ms. Smith, to point out the obvious, these scenes of people, dead people, you know, on the ground outside the stadium, one dead woman in a wheelchair, and most of the ones left, and the networks are saying these, one out of four New Orleans has no car. Most of the ones you see milling about are black and they're poor. Not that there aren't whites there, but the vast majority of those still suffering, many haven't ate or drank for 4 or 5 days, is poor black. So tragically, like everything else in life, Ms. Smith, the poor get the service at the end of the line or not at all.
Okay,
Ms. Smith, have a nice weekend.
You
and
too.
A nice Labor Day.
Thank you. Thank you, Roosevelt, man. We're at break time again. This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Stay tuned. We'll be back with you after the break.
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
die. That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the
St.
world.
St. Louis Zoo has a new Animals Always wristband for sale. Proceeds from the wristband will benefit the Zoo Wild Care Institute's efforts to sustain wildlife and wild places in 12 centers around the world. Wristbands are $1 each and available for sale at the zoo gift shops or at participating Schnucks markets. You can also order online at www.stlzoo.org with a minimum order of 5 wristbands plus shipping and handling. Something for you from WGNU.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
To hear just a little bit of John Coltrane's Alabama, and there it is. All right, you're back. Contact numbers are 454-0400. You can call us long distance at 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. I'm going to go right to the phone lines. Good morning. Good morning, sir.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Smith. Yes, you know, I was listening to the lady, and y'all was talking about the thing about the preacher, black preachers and things down there in Alabama and Mississippi. But first, I want to ask somebody, anybody.
Actually,
out there,
we were not talking about in those particular areas. We were talking about anybody anywhere that mm-hmm. has the means to help.
Yeah, well, you see, this is the only thing that I disagree with the people on is about this. Is they always say, well, black folks are doing something for black folks, but they just don't show it. Now, you see, this is the thing. Seeing is believing.
But wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Now, you're not suggesting that everything that everybody is doing to aid and assist people is being shown on television.
No, ma'am, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm saying that to show it like white people are being shown that
okay.
they are doing something for their people. Listen, black people have black press now. Black people have all of these rights to print papers, give out free literature, and everything else when they get ready to get my vote.
Okay, let me ask you this. Where is the coverage? I mean, what stations have you basically been looking at?
Well, I've been listening to quite a few stations, and CNN, but, you know, most of it just were popular stations, you
okay.
know, radio, TV,
okay.
you
so
know,
you've
the
been
primetime TV and all that.
Okay, so those popular stations are not owned and controlled by African Americans, are they?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Well, you see, ma'am, this is what I'm trying to get to. You know, when we say something to our politicians about not fighting for us on bills. I'm a poor man, and we say something to these politicians about them. You know what they tell us? The same thing that you said. You said, well, you know, we're just a few of us up there in office.
No, I'm not. I don't know that we're saying the same thing. What I'm saying is that there are people who are doing things that we don't know about and are not being shown on TV.
Well,
just as there are individuals who are doing things who are not even seeking publicity for what they are doing. Likewise, there are politicians, and for some reason we think that politicians are the great hope of our salvation, and they are not. But, I mean, I understand how a lot of people try to instill in people that they are the great hope for their salvation, and again, they are not. So all I'm saying is let us not just simply look to the preachers or the politicians, but let us also do ourselves. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, Ms. Smith, you know, I think that every poor black man that's my age that have lived through experience, not college degrees, not what I'm supposed to be and how life's supposed to be, but how we have experienced it. Now, I'm going to show you something. When something happens to white folks in these different countries and things, the first thing you see is Jesse Jackson up there talking about it. Sometimes the white politician and the white America are telling them, well, we don't want you to go over there. You can't go there. No, I got to go there and I got to straighten
okay,
this out.
Okay, well, what's your point? Have you seen Jesse?
No, ma'am.
Well, I have.
Let me say this.
Yes, he has.
Well,
I'm not particularly a Jesse Jackson fan, okay? But Jesse has been with President Chavez in Venezuela trying to get reserves released to assist with particularly in poor areas gas, okay? Jesse has been out there in the manner in which people feel comfortable in doing whatever it is they have to do. And all I'm saying is certainly we're going to criticize. I'm going to criticize, you know, some people. And I'm going to question, you know, the response of the federal government and other things that are going on with respect to the devastation. But at the same time, you know, you are not going to, just like you didn't see Jesse and I did, just like somebody else didn't see T.D. Jakes and somebody else did. All I'm saying is unless you are sitting with a wall and you got different television stations and this and that, we don't know what everyone is doing to aid and assist people. Nobody knows that. You know, there are people that could say, oh, Charlie Dooley, he ain't doing nothing to help the people down in New Orleans and down in the Gulfport, when in fact, you know, they're working very hard to try to get Gumbo up and running to house some people out there. So I guess the point is we don't know what everybody's doing to help. We're just asking everybody to help.
Well, you know, I think that we always have and we always will. You know, I was raised up at a time when they used to give out little food stamps during the wartime. And we had to stand at the end of the line. And there was no politician, no preacher that told us black folks to give what we had to share, that last basket of bread over there that the white folks left for us, poor black folks. We shared it with each other because we had enough sense to know that we was all human. We was all under the same condition. But today we have this class of thing of what it class black is practically just like the class white man.
I don't agree with that. No, I don't. Certainly there are individuals that fit into that category, but there are also individuals that will give their last. And I'm blessed to say I know a number of them that will give their last to people who don't have, and they're not educated. Everybody in my family is not educated, does not have degrees. You know, some of them, I have everything in my family from the dope fiend to the drunk, to the factory worker, to the union worker, to the college educated, to the one who didn't bother to graduate from college. I mean, I'm hopeful. I have a young cousin at Morehouse, and he will be the first boy in my mother's family to graduate from college. So, and people have a heart are from all walks of life, you know. So I think there are a lot of people that care, Obadiah. I mean, the media may not be showing it, but people are out there caring in small ways and in big ways, and there are people that have that are doing it, and there are people that have not that are doing it as well.
But Ms. Brown, Mr. Smith, I just want to say this. The only thing I can say is it's bad that they had all kind of tornadoes, the flood, the salami, and all that kind of stuff. It was about the condition that these people were living on. It was all about helping people that are drastic thing from nature had happened to these people. But what we are hearing and seeing on our television, and there's nobody saying anything about it, really black leaders are not out speaking about it, and I don't see too much of it, and that is about here in America, black people is flooded and dying, and they're talking about looters. Who cares about a person getting a TV that is sunk in water?
Hmm.
He ain't got nothing. He got nothing but some junk.
Yeah.
And here these people, they're talking about getting some gun and shoot to kill a person with a television full of water.
Okay, I'm hoping that I know what you're saying, and the governor of Louisiana did say that, but I think they're probably talking about the people with the guns. And I understand people are, they're saying they're showing the same five shots.
Yeah,
of individuals
who are
stealing a TV and things like that. I understand, but that's part of news, and we know that they're going to cover different aspects of what is going on. And unfortunately, when we have devastations, the worst in people come out, and the criminals didn't disappear when something bad happened. So sure, but there have not been a widespread looting as they're talking about, because they keep on showing the same five shots.
If you listen, to steal or loot anything, ma'am, this is common sense. Where are they going to take it?
You make a very good point. My brother, we're nearing the top of the hour.
Yeah, thanks
for calling in. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is First World Alderwoman. I'm so confused. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. As you know, all of us are expressing our concern and grief in a lot of different ways. So, you know, call in, vent if you want to, say what you want to. We'll be back after the news. Stay tuned.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. President Bush is on his way to Mobile, Alabama, the first stop on his tour of the hurricane devastation. Before leaving Washington, the president responded to criticism of his administration's response to the crisis.
A lot of people working hard to help those who've been affected, and I want to thank the people for their efforts. The results are not acceptable.
The Senate has approved $10.5 billion in emergency disaster funds. The House takes up the measure in a few hours. The rescue effort in New Orleans is being hampered by violence. Criminals running wild with shootings, robberies, and rapes. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco has given 300 members of the National Guard, just back from Iraq, shoot-to-kill orders.
We've got people probably who are on drugs, who are threatening other people, who are causing our rescue effort to stall. We have a few bus drivers early on who were hearing all the scary stories and refusing to go in.
Thousands of people waiting for buses to get out of the city are having to cope with a smell from an explosion in some railroad cars. The mayor says the fire is non-toxic. For some of those who've made it to Houston, it's more of the same. The Astrodome is full.
When that 25,000 figure was initially put forward, no one had accounted for the room that the cots would take up, and they're unable to fit that many people into the Astrodome. They have overnight opened the Reliant Center next door to accommodate some people and to set up a medical unit, because many of the people coming out of New Orleans are very sick.
ABC's Barbara Pinto. In Iraq, a trial date has been set for Saddam Hussein. It's October 19th. The former Iraqi leader and three co-defendants will stand trial for the 1982 massacre of Shiites in a town north of Baghdad. Saddam could receive the death penalty. The military says three American soldiers have been killed in action in Baghdad and south of the capital. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons for getting that major project done before fall. Number three, football season with weekends off. Number two, actually enjoying our new kitchen instead of just dreaming about it. And my number one reason, deferred financing.
Don't put off the project, put off the payments. Now through Labor Day, visit the Home Depot or Expo Design Center for special deferred financing store-wide. See store or homedepot.com for details, but do it before Labor Day. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. stores only.
Sounds like a bad allergy day, pollen.
Sounds to me, Mole, like an OTC seasonal allergy medicine quitting after 6 hours.
Why take an OTC medicine that stops working in 6 hours? Just one dose of once daily Allegra with fexofenadine lasts up to 4 times longer than one dose of most OTC allergy medicines. Comparison based on label directions. See our ad prevention magazine. Visit Allegra.com or call 1-800-ALLEGRA. For people 12 and over, side effects alone may include headache, cold, or backache.
Long-lasting Allegra helps take the allergy out of allergy season.
Ask your doctor. Today, take once daily Allegra. The relief goes on.
One of the last great Mississippi bluesmen has died. ABC's Richard Cantu reports.
Well, I would die in heaven down.
R.L. Burnside died Thursday in Memphis. His raw country blues evoked the style of John Lee Hooker. Burnside was a sharecropper early in life. He didn't become a professional musician until 1991. He released over a dozen albums and toured worldwide, although he performed less after heart surgery in 1999. It's bad, you know. Burnside was a cult icon among rock and roll aficionados. Matthew Johnson, owner of Burnside's label Fat Possum, called him incorruptible because he just didn't care. R.L. Burnside was 78. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Conservative groups and the Ku Klux Klan are planning to protest a weekend meeting at a Methodist retreat center in North Carolina. The meeting involves Methodists who want gays welcomed in all aspects of church life. The sheriff's department is setting up a command center at Lake Junaluska. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the wives of the St. Louis Rams will be among the volunteers outside the Edward Jones Dome today, collecting money for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. Danielle Newton, the wife of Tom Newton, says they felt the need to help after seeing the devastation left behind by the earthquake. Additionally, Rams linebacker Trev Falk says he wants to work with some of the other NFL players who come from the hurricane-ravaged areas to help the victims. A priest convicted of sodomy could face as many as 20 years in prison. A jury convicted Father Thomas Graham earlier this week of molesting a teenage boy at the old cathedral more than 25 years ago. The same jury recommended a 20-year sentence for Graham yesterday. Formal sentencing has been set for October 6th. Many people will be taking to the roads this weekend for the Labor Day holiday. Melissa Black, a spokesperson for the Missouri Department of Transportation, is urging all motorists to use caution when traveling.
The biggest thing we really want motorists, passengers, all of them to do is to remember to buckle their safety belt, follow the speed limits, pay attention, be very alert to what's going on around them, and just be extremely cautious because traffic will be rather heavy. Everyone's traveling.
In addition, Black says people need to be careful in construction work zones. She says even though road crews won't be working this weekend, there will be equipment and other restrictions that could cause traffic problems. For more information about road conditions, log on to www.modot.org or call 1-888-ASK-MODOT. Finally this hour, Hurricane Katrina has caused gas prices to make some huge spikes in the past 2 days, pushing prices in many cities well over $3 a gallon. This week's Metro Source Price at the Pump survey shows the national average for a gallon of regular unleaded is $2.84, which is 23 cents higher than last week. However, many of the 66 cities surveyed have experienced large jumps between yesterday and today. A sampling of about 40% of those cities shows an average of $2.94. The average for premium is $3.03, but a sampling of the selected cities shows an average of $3.14. 12 cities saw a jump of 40 cents a gallon or more. Drivers in four of those cities are paying at least 60 cents more per gallon than last week. The average in Indianapolis skyrocketed 66 cents to $3.19. People in Dayton, Ohio, and Louisville are paying 62 cents more, while Atlanta's average jumped 61 cents a gallon. Milwaukee has the nation's highest price of $3.29, which is 55 cents more than a week ago. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at Blanchette Bridge. That construction, the right lane is closed. Crews are in their final stage of bridge work. There are no delays this hour. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood Boulevard and Hanley. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way into Big Bend, no problems to report. Northbound 270 at 44, everything's flowing freely. Northbound 55 between 270 and Gravois, everything is on the move there. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way into New Florissant Road, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway, there's construction. That exit is closed. You can use 11th Street to get around that. Westbound 40 between Forest Park Parkway, that ramp is closed for construction. Expect slow traffic approaching Boyle. Westbound 5570 split at the PSB. That traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Everything's on the move. McGuire Lane at Taylor. There's a report of an injury accident. That's in Hazelwood. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly sunny today, a high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 70 degrees. Liz Brown is on vacation. However, the wake-up call will continue with your special guest host, Irene J. Smith, filling in for Liz Brown. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
You've seen the parents who get upset at their child's sporting events and those who take it all in stride. Here's what makes a responsible, supportive adult when their child is on the field. Encouraging the child no matter what their skill level. Making sure they know that the best part of being on a team is the fun they can have. Telling them that they are developing their skills. Making sure they let the coaches coach. Not yelling their opinions on the field and not bad-mouthing the coach on the way home in front of their young player. If the child is one of the better players, being realistic about their future in the sport. Don't put too much pressure on them to make it their number one priority. There are very few school athletes who make it to the professional level. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
Like a long, lonely stream, I keep running towards a dream, moving on, moving on. Like a branch on a tree, I keep reaching to be free, moving on.
There's hope for everyone. Oh, my, my, my. This is the morning wake-up call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who's on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance, 1-877-920-WGNU. Or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Boy, this morning I am surrounded by Howards. The Howard in the box, Howard in the studio. I'm surrounded. I just want to read to you a couple of things that I received. One of them is something that comes from an article that Will Bunch wrote, and it's a quote from the emergency management chief for Jefferson Parish in Louisiana, New Orleans, and it was in the New Orleans Times on June 8th of last year. And I quote, it says, "It appears that the money has been moved in the president's budget to handle homeland security and the war in Iraq. And I suppose that's the price we pay. Nobody locally is happy that the levees can't be finished. And we are doing everything we can to make the case that this is a security issue for us." Then I want to share with you an email that came from Seattle, Washington, from a Miss Marilyn Rainwater. And it says, "As night falls in New Orleans and the city fills with snake-infested waters, I find myself missing from the news reports. There's plenty of horror and concern, but I don't hear any outrage, shame, or blame. 1 year ago, as New Orleans was threatened by Hurricane Ivan, there was a tiny paragraph at the far end of the news report. Around 100,000 poor people in New Orleans had no transportation to leave the city, and there were no plans in place for evacuating them. 1 year later, as disaster threatens again, the same paragraph appeared far down on the inside page of the paper. Now we're seeing the consequences of that callous unpreparedness. This is supposed to be the era of post-9/11 preparedness. If New Orleans, a city which has lain under the threat of hurricane devastation for over 100 years, still has no plans for evacuating 100,000 of its citizens, what chance is that the rest of America is in any way seriously prepared for known national disasters, let alone random terrorist attacks? If New Orleans could recognize a threat to its most vulnerable citizens and do nothing for an entire year, how can I believe any claim that my nation cares for the poor and the disenfranchised? Watching this disaster unfold, I am filled with horror, but also with shame at being part of the richest nation the world has ever known, which ignores the needs of the poor, with outrage at those who saw the need and did nothing to address it, and blame for those who claim to be preparing our nation for disaster, but fail to make the most rudimentary preparations for a disaster that could have been predicted over 100 years ago." I'm going to go to the phone lines. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Sister Irene Smith. I have a comment. I'm calling in regards to the eminent domain issue.
All right. Well, if you don't say my name, my whole name, give me
all
my
right,
J.
All right, Sister Irene J. Smith.
You could just call me Irene. You won't have to say the J.
All right. All right. I want to say hi to Howard, too, and I'm so glad to hear that Howard Sr. and his father is safe at home.
All right.
Well, safe.
Thank you.
Yes. As you know, and I appreciate you bringing the issue to the forefront with the Citizens Coalition to Fight Eminent Domain Abuse, we are calling on all residents and businesses to join us in our fight against eminent domain
abuse.
And we want to make it clear, too, that we're not against progress or development. We want participation for the residents. I've heard the word inhumane quite a bit. And what I've seen in terms of eminent domain is that it is inhumane in what they're doing. Basically, it comes down to the elected officials and developers coming together without allowing the residents' participation in the process and taking people's property. And so when and we are calling and for help in our fight against particular wards. Let me name them: the 3rd Ward, the 5th Ward, the 17th Ward, the 18th Ward, and the 19th Ward. And as well, you know, in the 24th Ward, there's a recall effort going on.
September the 20th.
September the 20th.
Day of the election, I believe.
Yes. In all of those wards, the aldermen need to be held accountable. We are calling on them to halt all eminent domain projects until the state task force completes its investigation.
And when is that supposed to be, brother?
Well, they're supposed to complete it by December 31st.
Okay.
And right now it seems like the rush is on to present these bills right after the June decision of the Supreme Court said that it was legal to use eminent domain. But the problem is that they are preying on some of our most vulnerable. For example, the elderly. We have an area in the 4th Ward that basically people were forced to leave their homes, sell their homes to move into Homer G. Phillips. Now what they're doing is raising the rent and forcing them out of there. And in the case of the Sunset Hills, 93% of the people who are losing their homes are African American. And so it is known that eminent domain affects blacks, African Americans, disproportionately.
Okay.
As well as our elderly.
Okay.
So we're calling on everybody to come fight with us. We can be reached.
Why don't you give us the information on how you can be reached and where you meet, and then I'm going to have to move on to another caller.
Okay. We can be reached at 385-4262 or 535-3425. We meet in different wards every week on Thursdays. But if you call 534-3425 or 385-4262, you can get more information.
Okay,
for the Citizens Coalition to Fight Eminent Domain Abuse.
Okay, thank you, brother. Thank you for calling
in. All right,
in.
Thank you.
Good morning.
How you doing, Irene?
I'm doing good.
You know, Irene, all that sounds good and look good, you know it's not good. You know that.
Okay, what's your point?
The point of it is, you know, when they talk about 9/11, they say people came together. Do you remember any people coming? We came together during 9/11.
There were people that came together.
But they say like America came together.
Now we know. Come on, we, as you just said, we did not come together.
That's right. That's all I'm saying. We didn't come together. And I think right now, what's happening now, if people are for real, they will come together with this situation that they have in New Orleans, but in other places too. But we know that that's not going to happen.
Well, we may not totally come together, but I will say that there are going to be people out there.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be people out there, right. But Irene. But, you know, I look at this money that I'll ask you, what happened to the money that they found over there in Iraq, all of them millions of dollars?
Prisoner, you asked the same question that I asked about 2 weeks ago in a conversation with a friend of mine. No, I don't know. They were saying that the money was going to go to the Iraqi people, and then, you know, who knows? Who knows where it went?
Well, would George Bush know where it went?
I don't think he would.
You don't think George Bush know where that money went?
You know what? I try to restrain myself from even saying what I really think about George Bush, because I think that, you know, when he appeared on TV, when he appears most of the time, that he is under some type of psychotropic drug or something. I think he's high most of the time when he talks to the public.
Well, you're going to hurt a lot of folks' feelings when you say that. But
I mean, all you have to do is look at him and listen to what he's saying.
I can imagine, but, you know, there's still these white folks' president, you know, that they love so much.
Well, I'm just telling you what he appears. That's my opinion. That's the opinion of Irene.
You know,
Irene J.
Right
Smith.
Your opinion.
And a lot of psychological nurses that I talk to are of the same opinion.
And, you know, they talk about these people, and this is a desperate situation down here. These people, they focusing on the televisions, radios and stuff getting stolen, breaking into down there, getting these items. I mean, that's the most stupidest thing because, number one, like the man said, there's nothing they can do with that. They need to be focusing on other things. And then I hear these people talking about the people stealing. They make excuses. They stop making excuses for black people that go in these places and steal. And I know it's all of us are doing wrong. They make excuses.
Well, I'll tell you, prisoner, if your baby or your mother needed some water or some potato chips, something to keep hunger off, we all would be going in there doing the same thing. And someone called me off the air and asked me, and I can't remember, maybe you do. Do you recall it was some sporting event that a particular team didn't win? And I mean, they tore up. They were looting. They were smashing windows, you know. And the type of characterization of those individuals who happen to be Caucasian was not the way it is that's happening with them. Now, sure, some folks are doing wrong.
Right.
But like I said, all I keep on seeing is the same five pictures.
Right. Well, see, that's white America for you. You know, they talk about excuses. I know you say you Catholic. And the Catholics are giving, okay? They say they're giving.
No, what I said was, let me correct you, prisoner. What I said was,
wait a minute, let me say
this. Prisoner, you misstated.
Across America.
Hold on a minute, prisoner. Okay. I just want to correct you now. What I said was, I was born, baptized, and raised a Catholic, and I'm not a practicing Catholic right now, but my family, members of my family are. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now, you talk about, you remember Hands Across America?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that money came up missing. You know, and like I say, they say that stop making excuses. Well, when you make excuses for a priest that raped a child, even though they might be given, but
that's
that
no
still
excuse.
Don't.
That's no excuse for a priest.
Right.
That he
no
should be subject to that punishment.
And the only reason why I say that, because I hear these people talk this crazy madness. They talk about they love God, they love people, and this and that and other, but they down talking about focusing on somebody stealing a television. What they going to do, hide the TVs underwater until the water go down? I mean, I want these people to think about when you talk about making excuses. I think there's no excuse for no priest to take a boy and rape the hell out of him.
You're right.
And
okay,
to say
Chris.
That the Catholic Church, that's why I say all that sounds good and look good, it's not good all the time. So you have to watch these people.
Okay.
And I'm telling you,
Chris,
there's going to be some manipulating with this money going down where it's going to. They're going to be stealing that money, too.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me say this. Certainly there are priests who have done wrong, who have molested, priests who have raped, priests who have engaged in all type of pedophilia. There have been a lot of priests doing that. There have also, on the other hand, been a whole lot more priests who have not. And you can still be a charitable organization and still have individuals that are part of your organization that do wrong by people. We see it in every institution. It's not anything that's particular to the Catholic Church. Okay? It is talked about a great deal because the Catholic Church is one of the largest institutions in this country and the world. But there has been a cover-up. In prison, I wanted you to make real clear where I'm coming from. There has been a cover-up by the Catholic Church. To me, that equals probably a criminal RICO, covering up some of the things that priests have done to children. There's also been a cover-up and a lack of prosecution from the circuit attorney's office. And I'm not specifically talking about the present circuit attorney prior to her even taking office. And thus far, I don't know that we've ever seen a report that pointed out the number of incidents that were brought to the attention of the circuit attorney's office where the victims were willing to cooperate with the prosecution. But just as those were wrong things that were done and need to be punished and should be punished, at the same time, there are a lot of things that members of the Catholic Church, because everybody that's a member of the Catholic Church is not a pedophile priest, okay? My mother certainly isn't. My sister certainly isn't. My brother-in-law who called in certainly is not. But so let's not just take this one black dark, one bad spot on the Catholic Church. It's certainly bad, certainly wrong. But at the same time, there are also good things that the Catholic Church does, just as there are good things that the Methodists do, the Lutherans do, the Baptists do. And so, sure, it's going to be some bad, but let us not forget about the good. And right now, and it's not meant to try to take up for the Catholic Church, because I'm not very pleased with the Catholic Church right now. And there have been times throughout my life I haven't been pleased. I left the church when I was 16 because I didn't think they were coming out and saying enough against the Vietnam War. But let us not take that and say that, okay, you didn't do that, you're covering up for priests, and let that overshadow the good that also is being done. Let's continue to expose the bad, but not forget the good. I'm going to go to the phone. Yes, sir.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, this is a national disgrace what's happening down there in the Gulf. Here they told 30,000 people to show up. The people obeyed the law, did what they were supposed to do with their luggage, their grandparents, just showed up, and then when it got bad, they were deserted. Deserted by the government authority. There should be people in jail. And watching this on TV is just heart-wrenching, heart-wrenching. And this president, who's a joke, you know, he's cut funding for the National Guard down there. He's cut funding for the Army Corps of Engineers who could have built up the dike. They took the money for Iraq. And for anybody, not just a black man, for anybody to take up a gun and join the service to go overseas and kill people of color to fight for this country, boy, that's why the rest of the world laughs at Americans. They say Americans are dumb. They're to being fed a lie. This is all about greed, this war and everything. And I'm sure, you know, the mayor's got some blame in doing this with the governor. I mean, why didn't they have water trucks stationed outside that stadium, medical units, security? They should have had trucks there, stationed out there, but they were abandoning them. They abandoned these people because they were black and poor. And if any black man joins the service, go overseas to kill people, Arabs, for this country, you wonder why the rest of the world looks down on America. Because this is disgusting and makes me ashamed to be American. Thank you.
All right. The caller ended his comments right as it's time for us to go to a break. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Stay tuned, callers. I'm going to try to get to all of you before the end of the show. We'll be back.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
It's new, it's awesome, and it's coming to St. Clair Square. It's the one-of-a-kind Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys. Be the first to see it and experience it at Kids Expo 2005, Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. The Yo-Stick is totally new, the next generation of yo-yo. Learn exciting new tricks from expert Yo-Stick performers. Kids Expo is the place to check out the latest in family-oriented products and services, information and education, and activities and entertainment. Visit the SBC Treasure Cove in Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes, including the Captain's Treasure Chest. See the Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys and much, much more at Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional concepts production.
Congratulations! You found Radio Free St. Louis at AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears. 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
We interrupt this program for an important message. Right now, you can ride the ultimate storm of the new tornado at Hurricane Harbor inside Six Flags St. Louis.
We interrupt this important message for an even more important interrupting message. Hurricane Harbor is 100% free inside Six Flags St. Louis.
We interrupt again for a message so important it can beat up the last interrupting message. You can also see Circo Magnifico, the all-new dynamic stage show featuring acrobatics that will simply amaze you.
You call that an important interrupting message? Here's an important interrupting message. Six Flags is the only place on Earth where you can get coasters like The Boss and Batman the Ride and the exhilarating Mr. Freeze.
Oh, yeah? Well, this is the daddy of all interrupting messages. Right now, you can buy and print discount tickets right from your home using Print and Go at SixFlags.com. Six Flags St. Louis, it's playtime.
Whoa, that was important.
Told you.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Hey, you know, everybody's talking about the good old days. Everybody, the good old days, the good old days. Well, let's talk about the good old days. Come to think of it, as bad as we think they are, these will become the good old days for our children. But why don't we try to remember that kind of September when life was slow and oh, so mellow. Try to remember. And if you remember, then follow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, why does it seem that the past is always better? We look back and we think the winters were warmer.
Can you imagine what the kids who started kindergarten and and the ones who started college at Tulane and Xavier, and you know what they're thinking, what's going through the mind, what the good old days that will become for them. It is up to us to make a difference in our own way, in our own effort. Let's do that. Let me try to clear the phone lines before we get out of here. Sister Betty, hello.
Good morning, Irene. How are you this morning?
I'm fine.
Well, blessed and highly favored. It's just atrocious what's happening in New Orleans this morning. They're calling American citizens refugees. If it was anyone else, excuse me, I'm very upset about this. They would not be refugees. They would be American taxpaying citizens. And they're treating them like foreigners, worse than they treat foreigners. They pick Cubans up out of the ocean. Mm-hmm. But they won't even drop water and food and take care of American citizens that are suffering, dying along the road. This is just just something that... Where's FEMA? Mm-hmm. Where's FEMA?
FEMA says that they're on the ground. It was interesting. I was looking at some coverage from CNN. And it was interesting what they were saying at the command post and then versus what the reporter was showing and talking about. On the note about the refugee, use of the word refugee,
yes.
A friend of mine, a brother, called last night, and we were talking about that. And so he asked me, had I ever heard it used in reference to anyone in this country? And I said, no. I said, I think the reason why people tend to use the word refugee
is to disassociate themselves, Irene, from the problem. Because a refugee is a person that's from another country that's fleeing to another country. These are American citizens.
Well,
this is really horrible.
I understand what you're saying, and I can identify it. But at the same time, a refugee, first definition, is one who is seeking shelter. And certainly these people are seeking shelters. But your point is very well taken. And then you get on into refugees have come to mean individuals from other countries.
Absolutely.
Who have suffered political and religious persecution. But initially the word refugee means someone who is...
fleeing another country.
Refugee means someone who is seeking shelter and comfort.
Yeah, absolutely, from one country to another.
It does not necessarily have to be a country, although it has oftentimes been used that way.
I mean, we use it in that context.
Right.
When you are talking about a person that's just 200 miles from you on the same shores, you don't call them refugees. These are American citizens that are suffering, that need help. They need medical help, they need food, they need water, they need shelter. We as the people of America should be up in arms that our government is not doing anything whatsoever to help these people. It doesn't seem like it. I mean, I see all these people that are crying out for water.
They're certainly doing some things. I think the issue is, and the question becomes, to what extent has race and class played into this?
Absolutely.
But there are efforts that are being made, mainly because of the press bringing out the suffering that is going on. But again, as Sister said, these are our people, and they
Absolutely.
Need our help, and these are American citizens. Sister, I'm going to move on to the next caller. Thanks so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
Caller?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I was calling regarding to the people talking about what other people aren't doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, while they're on the phone talking about what other people aren't doing, what are they doing?
The point is well taken. I think people are venting, are grieving, and that's okay, because some of the people, I know that some of the people who are calling in, because some of them I know personally, are doing some things, okay? But they are also venting at the government and at entities that they...
Well, no, I wasn't talking about like the government. I'm talking about like they were talking about the churches and things.
Well, I mean, they're venting. I mean, you know, this is one thing...
I know,
one thing about this country is...
They are taking up a collection, but it's not nothing that they're advertising. They're taking it up, and then, too, they have to remember that the church is functioning by the members of the church, and the pastor can't just jump and say, I'm going to do this. It has to be approved by the church, too. That they just can't, the pastor can't just say, well, I'm going to give this hit to this and that. It has to be okayed. And then, too, the money comes from the members of the church. So to give from the church, the members have to participate in that, too.
That's true. And I think many other callers have called in and pointed that out as well. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just saying those who have and who are in the position to give, please give. And certainly we're going to, you know, people are going to say, where's so-and-so? I mean, that's just human nature, so to speak. But I think your point is very well taken.
Like the man was talking about Jesse Jackson. I haven't seen him on television, but one reason I haven't seen him on television or I haven't heard anything is because it's so traumatic because I very seldom look at the television.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that Jesse Jackson is doing this or he ain't doing that because I'm not aware of what's going on television anymore.
We all have a tendency to do that, you know, because we're saying, where are the leaders? So it's a natural thing. But thank you for your comment. We appreciate your call. We're going to move on to the next caller.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
You do the same.
And please be safe.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Well, good morning, Irene J. Smith. What I was going to bring up is I think there is an obvious disparity in how black people are treated. If you look at the Darfur region and the Sudan and Somalia, and you look at AIDS in Africa, and you look at how America drags their feet when it comes to people of color, much like somebody mentioned earlier about the Cuban refugees, but yet when Haitians were coming over in boats, they were turned back. And it just seems as though when you're dealing with black people in this country, that there's an obvious difference in how they treat a Croatian or a Serbian right here in St. Louis, how they bring them over here with open arms. But when you deal with a Haitian or a Somalian or somebody else, it's obvious that historically this country treats people of color much differently in reference to them dragging their feet to do anything about AIDS in Africa or the Darfur, Somalia, and all that sort of thing. And I think you probably would agree with that. At least I think you might.
I agree that there's
a disparity to me.
Of course there's a disparity, but I think also class is playing into it.
Well,
because
yeah.
When I watched and I looked at those people in Mississippi and in Biloxi and
right.
All areas along the Gulfport who didn't happen to have the same hue that you and I have,
right.
But they also were not getting the attention that they should be getting. You
well,
know, they
you.
Hadn't
no,
seen
no, no,
anyone. And because the numbers in New Orleans and Louisiana are so great. You know, I mean, what, 70% of the population is of African descent in Louisiana? I mean, in New Orleans. So I think that race and class is very definitely playing into this.
Well, why is it our governments like that? I mean, why is it the richest country in the world that wants your kids to go fight over in a war where there's poor blacks and Mexicans and Puerto Ricans and all type of minorities in the military armed forces, but yet when you live in this country and you come back to this country, there's an obvious difference in how you're treated, but yet you're expected to go lay down your life or give up your child to go fight for a country that, to me, is not worth your child dying for, in my personal opinion. I just think that this country, if they're not going to treat everybody fairly and equally, then don't ask me to have my son go fight for you. That's just my personal belief.
I understand. Point well taken, brother.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Definitely in this country, race and class plays into decisions that are made and sometimes responses that are taken. And I think with respect to this devastation that we've seen from Katrina, that race and class is certainly playing into it. Unfortunately, this country is still the country that it is, but I think individually we can show who we are and we can show that we care. We're nearing another break time. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. Yours truly, Irene J. Smith, is sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, a long distance, 1-877-920-WGNU. Or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Stay tuned, callers. We'll be back after the break.
Smiles were bright. Can it be that it was all so simple then? Or has time rewritten every line? And if we had the chance to do it all again?
tell me, would we, could we?
Remember that song you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has reached out in love to children in 20 countries on 4 continents, providing the security to help homeless children grow into confident young people, educating and training them to become effective community leaders, helping them to help others through business development. Discover how Hope for the Nations reaches out in love to the children of the world. Get involved yourself. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, a nonprofit organization turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
Waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Have you been wondering what Susan Smith Harmon has been up to lately? Well, wonder no more. The airwaves were just a little too irresistible for her to stay away for long. Now you can catch Susan on the WGNU airwaves on Friday mornings from 10 to noon. Spend your Fridays with Susan Smith Harmon from 10 a.m. to noon here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Started the week with John Coltrane, and I thought we might get just another snippet of I'm Old Fashioned by John Coltrane. Let me go to the phone lines to get in a few more callers. Good morning. Good morning.
How are you, Sister Irene?
I'm okay. I'm feeling very good now that I know that my family members are safe.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, it is.
But you know what? I listen to these black radio programs, black and white, and they ain't saying nothing. I could go to a funeral and get better results. America's breaking down, and the people don't want to face it. America's on its deathbed, religious-wise and politically-wise. I wouldn't trust either one of them. Bringing these phony messages to people, you might as well listen to a soap opera for the sadness that it brings to you. It's always what we can do, and you ain't got a penny. What can the government do that brought you here? Do you ever think of that? That's what I ask the people. Do they ever think of why these tornadoes are happening? God has become a fallacy to black people and white now. They're so political and religious-minded until they forgot the God. I listen to that woman talking to you. She doesn't even know what a refugee is. One who seeks refuge can be right in the same city and be a refugee. And I listen, you know, I just listen to it. Black people sound like tunes when you question them. They're neither this way nor that. That's hypocrisy. Have you ever noticed that listening, sister?
Sometimes some people.
Yeah, they sound very hypocritical. They don't take one side or the other. They almost say three words to defend the white man and two against him, but they're so silent It's like saying, Master, I don't want to really offend you, and I can't say what I want to say. Some of them really feel that what they're saying, they do have a share in America. They really feel that way. And this man is showing them plain as day they don't have no share in America. They're nothing but excess baggage. It's like a foster mother with an unwanted child in the womb and blaming the child for her pregnancy when she's the one that accepted the child. And Negro is that child in the womb. An unborn pregnancy. And I never heard a baby in the womb plan what he's going to do when they get outside the womb. You have a good day, Irene.
All right, Brother Malik. I'll probably see you at Sulor tomorrow. Brother Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay. You know, I was listening to Obadiah, and you were saying, you know, about what we as black people, the information that we consume every day and mm-hmm. what channels we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get some advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw some great reporting when it came from Tom Brokaw from Channel 9. I've been watching Channel 9 for years. Mm-hmm. It's become extremely conservative now, but it's about as fair and balanced as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have the Tony Brown show on Channel 9, and you have Tavis Smiley on Channel 9. You get a different view of things.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. I think what he was talking about was in terms of the coverage right now, the day-to-day.
Because he's watching CNN.
Not the different stories.
Or he's watching the Fox Network, that's what he said.
Oh, I know, but right now Channel 9 is not on a continuous basis covering what is going on.
I'm seeing it every day. I saw it on Wide Angle, too. I see it every day on Channel 9.
No, I'm saying that it's coming on through certain programming, continuously they are not covering it.
Well, I mean, but you can see, you know, it's just, Channel 9 gives you a different view sometimes of different issues, you know. And he also can go into and type in the internet if he doesn't have a computer, go down and put in black media. Just type in black media, that word,
right,
those two words, and you'll pick up a lot of things. And the socialist websites, they also have a different view of what's going on down there, you know. Like I learned from a guy who I know, who he left that particular New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and went to Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
and but he got flooded in also,
mm-hmm.
and he told me that those people are not shooting at the helicopters. What they're doing is shooting in the air to get their attention, because mm-hmm. they're getting excited. And he said, you hear a lot of, you know, to get their attention, and I kind of believe him because I don't hear about anybody getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a helicopter is easy to shoot down. Anybody in the military knows that a helicopter is very easy to shoot down, especially if it's not in a combat mode. I mean, you know, if you hit a helicopter, a propeller, it hit the dirt. I don't hear about, you know, helicopters crashing. I don't hear about holes in the helicopters. You know, I don't hear about all this
okay,
crazy.
Brother, I'm going to move on. Thank you for
And they want us to die.
Thank you, brother, for your comment. Your point is very well taken, though.
Uh-huh.
It is very well taken. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to tell you, Ms. Smith, you're a very good listener. You listen to the callers. This is a living nightmare. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, truly a nightmare. I can't understand why people focusing so much on the looting. I just don't understand it. I mean, those people would be taken care of. I'm quite sure they probably have insurance. You know, it's just really, really ridiculous. And I also want to say, what's up with this Homeland Security? If they can't be in place for something they know that's going to happen, if something happened that they don't know about, you know, we're going to be a...
There you go.
Doodle Creek without a paddle.
There you go.
Ooh, and what do they think? I mean, some of these people been up for four days. No sleep. I'm quite sure you're not sleeping.
Right.
You're not going to be thinking rational.
Exactly.
You know, you're not going to think rational. I know if we're feeling like this here, I can't imagine what those people are going through.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. What's troubling is the fact that many people are saying that the so-called looting wasn't anticipated. It always happens.
Yes, ma'am.
So that is certainly something that should have been anticipated. And in view of the fact that at least a large section of the individuals that live in the area that was most impacted are individuals of very limited means, some of them. Certainly that is something that should have factored in the preparedness. But since I want to move on to try
thank
to get a few
so
more
much.
Callers in for the end of the hour, have a safe weekend, okay? All righty. Caller.
Good morning, Irene.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to say I kind of believe that, too. Now that makes sense about the shooting,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's just a way to kill black people. But, you know, for all those people who say that they don't, they're black, but they're Americans before they're black,
mm-hmm.
I want to remind them that white people know you're black before you'll ever be American. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah, and that is so true. But we also want to say that a lot of people are devastated in New Orleans. The majority of them appear to be disproportionately African-American. But one thing for sure about the hurricane, it does not discriminate.
But, Irene, do you wonder why is it that, where are all the white folks? I mean, got to be, I see a few of them mingled in the crowd, but
because
did all those white people have money enough to get out of there?
A large number of them, but you have to understand, New Orleans is about, 70%? African American, about 70 to 80% African American,
and so those 80% are poor.
Those that could get out got out unless they wanted to stay, and that's what it came down to. And that's why I say issues of race and class certainly factor in. Sister, I want to try to get in one more caller before the top of the hour.
Irene, real quick, just is tourism the only industry in Louisiana? Thanks.
I'm not sure. I think they may do some fishing off the coast. I'm not real sure. Mike.
I just want to give big ups to Ted Koppel last night. He really hammered the head of FEMA, and he really looked like he was, for a minute, ashamed to be an American.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene J. Smith. I just wanted to say Hurricane Katrina is devastating, and I hope FEMA is not too spread out in law enforcement, and it's not racial, but it appears that it could be racial.
Okay. It is, and FEMA is not responsible for the law enforcement. The National Guard is, and the local police. Basically, martial law has not been declared in Louisiana and New Orleans as of yet, because when martial law goes into effect, it is the military that will determine the law enforcement there. And right now, they're just actually supporting local law enforcement there. As you can hear the music coming up, this has been the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who's on vacation. I will be back with you next week. I will not be here on Monday, but I'll be back with you on Tuesday. Sisters and brothers out there, please be safe. And if you're not going anywhere, try to drive a little less. Talk to you next week.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. Hundreds of National Guard troops are pouring into New Orleans.
I think you're going to see a dramatic change in the next few days. For the better.
Lieutenant General Stephen Blum, commander of the National Guard in Baton Rouge. He says troops are trained to use lethal force, but says there are no shoot-to-kill orders for looters.
Lethal force is something that we would try to avoid at all costs. We're here to...